Hey, Rox is going to join us for the last couple of minutes of The Unique Geek. How are you doing, Rox?
Hey, I'm good.
So we're talking about the different arrows that Green Arrow and Hawkeye have in there.
Is Rox the Rob of this show? Is this how it's working now?
Now that's how it's working.
I share.
I did want to point out, yes, you do. I did want to point out that sometimes too much. There is a Miss Arrowette. That's ArrowEtt. Not,
does it take batteries?
And this is what she has in her arrow.
Quiver.
Quiver.
It's called a quiver. See, that's why
say
I'm
it slower.
Quiver.
She has a lotion arrow.
You liar.
A hairpin arrow. A hair tint arrow. A needle and thread arrow. A nail file arrow. And a bubble arrow.
Is she an Archie character?
I call bullshit.
Okay, I'm sending it to you guys now.
I gotta see what she looks like. Because it sounds like she looked like the bomb.
How about a heroin arrow? That'd
how about
awesome.
A get in the kitchen and make me a sandwich arrow?
That's sandwich.
I'm looking for the stupid chat. Where the hell is this chat?
Don't talk back to me because I'm a man arrow. Sounds like those would all be about the same era.
Era arrows?
Look down, you'll find Miss Arrowette.
Arrowette.
Yes. Of course, it doesn't have a link to
here was Arrowette. Alouette, Arrowette.
Miss Arrowette.
So there's only three of you for the Unique Geek. Where's Michael Bailey?
We're just kind of recording this beforehand, so we just got together and said, forget it, we'll just do this.
I like the idea of a bubble arrow. I don't know how that works, but
if you do an
just like the idea of a...
If you do an image search on her, you'll find her. And she looks a little too modern for
so she's not 1950s character?
I don't think she is.
She sounds like a really bad beauty pageant entrant.
Right. Yes, does.
Toddlers
Where's
and
one of those unique geeks that actually reads DC Comics that could answer one of these damn questions?
Yeah, I guess like one of those losers up here.
Oh, she was in Young Justice. She was in Young Justice, actually.
Wow, that lotion arrow, that could be used for him or her, correct?
You know, this is what I love about like cons. There is a cosplayer for every fucking character. Cosplayed as Miss Arrowette.
You're looking at the same exact thing I'm looking at, aren't you?
Is she in red?
Yes.
Yes, we are looking at the same thing. I love cosplayers.
At least that looks like it was a Comic-Con rather than Dragon Con.
Look like a Comic-Con.
It looks
event,
like
yes.
It might have been at I wonder if it's
MegaCon?
MegaCon,
oh,
yeah.
Really? Speaking of which, who's going?
I do know a couple guys that are going. Some of my peak geek friends, Charles and Jay, are going.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting to go to MetaCon, which is a con about cons.
Supercon. Supercon-con.
I'm going to Metacon.
Chicken-con-con.
Con-con is where they invite cons.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up because we got a whole other podcast to do here.
Do we?
Yes.
We're doing a podcast. It's a podcast about podcasts.
I don't know what the next podcast is about. I asked like three episodes ago and I was never given an answer about what this podcast is about. So.
This is how much you know. It was only two episodes ago.
It just feels like four.
Well, it was about 2 years ago, in fairness, so.
Oh, no, he was referring to the next podcast we're doing, which is Weekend Justice, by the way. All right, before we go from The Unique Geek, Rox, you got anything you want to plug? Ladies.
Oh my god, there's not a tampon arrow. That would be great. Or not.
Wouldn't it?
Dangerous.
Just be careful, you'll poke your eye out.
Or something else. You got anything you want to plug?
Gosh, you caught me on a weird time. Yeah, read Fleming, World's Toughest Milkman by Dave Boswell, Canadian. Very good. There you go.
How about you, sir? Anything?
R.A. Salvatore going to be at Dragon Con. My favorite all-time fantasy like D&D style author.
Oh, you know what? You could, you know what? Just real quick, you could probably ask him about, you know, some of the tricks and stuff of the new game that he's worked on with that baseball player guy.
All right, I got to wrap it up. I got people calling me. So, Aaron, I know it's there's a lot of things for you to plug. What do you want to plug?
We already plugged Cabin Fever.
We'll go with Cabin Fever this week. We're short on time.
All right. Until next time, while John looks for the stupid volume control, he can't
stop
find...
Stop calling me Lee!
All right, until next time.
It's John. Can't call you Lee?
Peace.
You're
out of here.
Peace.
All right.
For 5 seconds.
Now...
Ow.
Now Widge's here.
All right.
Hello, my wedgie. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime man.
Thanks
what
for
in the fuck is that?
Did you get a ukulele? Are you ukulele?
And I now know 2 songs.
Oh, Aaron knows 2 songs now.
2 songs?
What is it? You get to 3 and then you can pretend you really can play the ukulele?
Yeah, at parties, I figure 3 is the max of songs you can play and then put it away and never play it again and pretend that you know loads.
And so what are the 2 songs that you now know?
I know Swinging on a Star, the old Bob Hope song.
Play now.
Play it now.
No, I'm doing a video challenge. You will see it at week 8 on the video challenge. Still practicing.
Week 8?
Yeah, we're week 4 now.
All right.
You're halfway there.
Halfway there,
ladies.
I also know the guitar parts on ukulele for the Vampire Weekend song "A Punk." So yeah, that's kind of.
All right, okay. So this isn't a challenge. Can you do Mansard Roof?
What?
I'm gonna guess no.
I guess no from Vampire Weekend.
Ross, remember, he's only...
But the M79, can you do M79?
Remember, he's like 13 years old.
What is she talking about?
I have no idea. And Rox, remember, he's only learning 2 songs so he can pretend to play the ukulele. He doesn't really know how to play.
Yeah, but you know
how to play 2 songs, which is more than you.
He doesn't play 2 songs. That's true.
Wait. Is playing the ukulele a sexual reference?
No.
Only if you wanted to be Scott.
I do. So now it is. Playing the ukulele is now a sexual reference for masturbation. For women.
No, it's not.
Women?
Yes.
No. No, it's really not.
And question, what would you know about that?
I've read books.
I read?
I've seen movies.
Wait a minute.
Read parts of them.
No. Yes. We finally figured out what sort of book Scott actually reads.
I don't know why he's not recommending them to our crowd. They'd sell like hotcakes.
I know.
Poor Scott. You need those like little blue book paperbacks. That they used to sell in the 50s.
No.
All right, Scott. Next week, you need to recommend a porn book.
No, yes, Scott, I reckon you've read a couple of porn books in your lifetime, right? Yes, this week I want you to think of it. Well, you've got 5 hours until the end of the show. I want you to think of your favorite porn book, and I want you to include that with your recommendations.
Tom of Finland does not count, Scott.
Okay.
All right.
And Scott, if we say a porn book, you can't say... You can't say it. So he can't use Delta of Venus or Lady Chatterley's Lover. What else?
Oh, come on. Give me some credit.
Venus and Furs.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, we're talking about porn here, not erotica. Come on.
Story of O.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Is that the story of Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah, yes. It is.
Or O, shopping saving site thing.
Oxygen Network.
Overstock.
Overstock.com, yeah.
The story of Overstock.
No, it's about orgasm. It's all about orgasm.
Famous Five Go Camping.
We really don't want the right answer. You know that, right?
What?
We really didn't want the right answer. You know that, right?
These are the jokes, folks.
That's why we asked you, Scott. Oh, my God.
So, right. Are you hallucinating yet?
No, not yet.
And you're not on the good drugs.
Oh, yeah, I am.
No, you're not.
Are you still?
I am the Lizard Queen.
Yeah,
I am the Star V.
You know, okay, so speaking of drugs, did you guys hear about Clive Barker and his 7 days?
Right?
He was in a coma for 7 days.
Oh,
he went to the dentist. It's on IO9. He went to the dentist and they put him under anesthesia for something, and apparently he may have had an infection or something. And they hit it or whatever, and he wound up getting toxic shock. So it went throughout his whole system, and it pretty much crashed his whole system. And he was on like a breathing apparatus, and he just got out of the hospital like today or something.
Oh my, that is terrible.
We could have lost,
Thanks for bringing us all down.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rock.
Goddamn dentist is trying to take us all out.
No, this is a good thing because he's feeling better and everything. He still wants to write Cenobite books, so that's good. That's good for us.
Well, it depends, because normally writing Cenobite books leads to Cenobite movies. And apart from the first one and kind of the second one, we don't need any more. Especially the remake.
Right. Yeah.
Googling Cenobite.
Well, what he said his next book was going to be? It was going to mix the Cenobites with Is occult detective Harry D'Amore? Is that the name?
I haven't read that.
I'm calling it off. Now,
when I Google this, I'm just getting like results of cinnamon buns. This can't be right.
You're spelling it wrong.
Yeah, I would go to Cinnabon and say, do you have any Cinnabites?
I like my cinnamon buns with extra frosting.
Bet you do.
Yeah,
I like mine with extra soul.
Now, I will say this, though, Aaron, what you're looking for is accurate in that eating a Cinnabon will open the gates of hell because it's that satanic and bad for you.
They are evil. Oh my God, they are so bad for you.
And they come in a little puzzle box.
And oddly, it stays on your flesh for eternity. So
I know. And rocks when you go up to the counter, they say, "What's your pleasure, sir?"
That's right.
What? Oh, who's the manager on duty? LaMarchand? Oh, okay.
Now that would be something, what if you became a pastry chef instead of a crafter of strange items?
You were really stopped yourself from saying strange boxes, didn't you?
He didn't want to be on soundboard. Widge, did you read it one time about like a Cinnabon has more fat than a Big Mac or something? One of them has like more fat than a Big Mac.
I have not read that.
Something ridiculous. I mean, there's something like really ridiculously bad for you. I don't know if it was the Cinnabon or the pecan Cinnabons or whatever, but they're just eat a pound of butter.
I'm reasonably sure that if you eat a whole Cinnabon that you're essentially trading 1 year of your life.
I think that might be it too. I'm not gonna get it.
And it's worth it.
But they're damn good.
Yeah, they are.
It's like totally worth it.
Your soul.
Oh, God, they are good.
Okay, who's got what for drinks?
Oh, I haven't made mine yet.
So,
Coca-Cola.
I have water with pomegranate cherry crystal light in it. Woohoo, baby, I'm living it up.
What the hell?
I know.
You are letting us down, Lee.
I'm so sorry.
Scott? Considering that drinking alcohol and being on drugs at the same time
the narcotics would not be
is bad, actually, she's not letting us down unless for some reason you want her to do damage to herself.
Yeah.
What kind of a monster are you, Scott? And that is rhetorical.
I have to ask you guys this question. Yeah, no, I really can't. Do you guys ever read the warnings when you get drugs?
Nope.
Let me explain that I have now been doing that. And that's fucking scary. it's a little scary. Let's see. This drug can make you have depression. It can make you have suicidal thoughts. If you have suicidal thoughts, please call your doctor immediately. But don't stop taking the drug because that might make you actually attempt suicide. Like, Jesus Christ. You start reading these things, you're like, what the fuck? Awesome.
Well, don't read anymore.
Did the pills come with a rope, though?
I'm sorry. What, Aaron? I didn't hear you.
Do the pills come with a rope?
Lee, as long as there's something that doesn't say oily discharge. Just saying.
Well,
no oily discharge.
Don't read any more that it does have, because if you read too many of them, people will be able to narrow down what drug you're on.
Yeah.
So I know anything about drugs. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. We all know that Serv is a total teetotaler.
Serv only plays a drug lord on TV.
What do you mean TV? That's true. Serv, you do need a reality TV series.
David Grohl's getting one.
Actually, I think there is one. It's called Bad. It has a little theme song that goes "Bad Boys, Bad Boys." Sorry.
Actually, he's only getting a sitcom.
That's just the drugs talking, folks. She's normally funnier.
So is not.
Which that's funny because it's not true.
I see what you did there.
Evil. With the jokes.
And the things.
So Lee, guess what I'm drinking?
Eschaton.
I am drinking some Eschaton, baby.
Where'd you go to get it?
I went to Hop City, which just opened.
I'll never play Hop City.
So now tell me about Hop City. Is it a...
Wait, I thought that was where the bunnies were.
Like a growler store, or what is it?
It is a wine and beer store that has now opened. They've basically taken over the space next door and opened up a 60-tap growler space. Yes.
There you get the places. I will say this now, so anybody that is, whenever I get back to it, but if you can go someplace where they actually fill up growlers and you can do that, first of all, it is not that expensive, and the beer is so much right out of the tap into your growler, you take it home.
And can I say, Lee, that I do. Oh, come on, Scott. You've already said that everything is a euphemism, so basically nothing is a euphemism. Why is it always cock with you?
Awesome.
That you knew that was coming.
I did too.
Right. So
you're going to say something about your new favorite place.
But no. I was going to say that the growler, or the growlette, as it may be, because this is 32 ounces as opposed to 64, is that because here's the thing about a growler. You apparently have to drink the beer once you've opened it within, like, you know,
3 to 5 days usually.
Yeah. Which means that if you've bought 64 ounces of beer, I mean, I wish I could drink that much beer, but I would be huge. So
that is a lot of
huge wedge.
That's a big
huge on the internet.
But internet? What?
You're huge on the internet.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
But Widge, the issue there is though, but a 32 ounce, if you're sharing with a significant other, that's like, you know, basically two good beers each. So top beer, it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna say was I was going to thank you, Lee, for getting me the growlette that you did. With the, like, plug on it that basically...
Yes, the plug.
That seals it, because otherwise everybody there was showing up with, like, just screw-on tops.
No.
And I was like, you are foolish. Your beer will go flat.
Your beer will go flat, but if you get the... Now, I will say you can only use each one of those, so your place will probably swap it out for you. But usually that seal will start going bad after about 8 or 9 growlets.
Okay.
Because it just doesn't seal as well. Scott,
I'm sorry. Just growler and growlet. I don't know. It just amuses me for some reason.
Well, the great thing about these, though, is honestly, because you can buy them and then, like, and you can have them for different things. So you can have, like, you know, one of cider and one of Eschaton and then one of other beers that people might like.
Well, what's great was a very
nice little thing.
Well, what's great was 32 ounces of this was $14.
Yep.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Because
it's not bad at all.
No, because the price wise, if you bought this in like a restaurant, it would be a $9-$11 beer easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's what the ones we've been trying to have been on the lower end. So we've been getting a growlette. We do the 32 ounce as well. And we've been getting them at our place, which I will give a shout out to because you gave it to yours, is the Beer Growler in Avondale Estates for those in Atlanta. we've been getting them around $6.99, $7.99, $8.99 for the Growlithe, and they have been wonderful. I got one just recently. I put it on my Facebook that honestly, Widge, it had the smell of bourbon when you now it wasn't bad. It didn't. It wasn't a bad smell. It just smelled so good because they had soaked it in bourbon casks.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, I will say this, based on what I've seen, if you're thinking about opening a business,
this is a good one.
A growler one's a good one to do. Because and literally, there was like a line to just go up to these 60 taps and fill up a bottle. And all you're doing is you're selling the bottle, and then you're just selling the beer. And that's it.
Yeah. The only thing that is upsetting a little bit to me, and I understand why they can't do it, but I honestly would love to be able to taste like one or two. Just to know, wait, what's it really going to be like? And you can't do that in most of these places because they don't have that kind of a license. They only have a sell, but they do not have an imbibe license.
Well, but Lee, I mean, I thought that's what restaurants were for.
Well, that is a part of what restaurants are for. And that's also a part of, that's true. And that is also a part of what I also say is trust your bartender. Here's what I like. And they just go, oh, okay, well, try this one. If you don't like it, you know, you'll drink it and then come and we'll try another one. I mean, you're not out that much, so I don't feel guilty about saying, oh, all right, I'll try it. Because, you know, when you're only out $7.99, you're like, it's not that bad.
It's like being out of a six-pack.
Try. Yeah, well, it's being out of a bad six-pack, even. So it's not even, yeah. Which somebody left Bud Light Lime in my house. They came over and they left it here, and I got rid of it. I swapped it off to somebody else. I took it to another thing and went, I think
somebody got off from the side of the road.
It had to get out of my house. It might have multiplied.
Yeah. You know what? You can laugh, but Bud Light Lime is really nice after a really hot summer day.
It's probably really good after I would mow the grass, because that's when you have really cheap beer, after you mow the grass. I would probably not disagree with that.
Wait, it was that besides mows the grass?
What?
You have a child. Why aren't you having him mow the grass?
Yeah, really.
That's an interesting point.
He will probably be soon doing that. He was a little young beforehand.
What, 12?
Now, yeah.
Plenty old.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, you know, doing a riding mower on several acres before that. And this is a yard.
Which was bringing in the back 40.
Yeah.
That's right. And by 40, I mean a 40 ounce.
Yeah. And of course, you know, he was going uphill both ways.
Mowing grass, actually. I don't mind doing some yard work, so I haven't made him do it. I don't mind doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good God, Scott. I don't like that kind of yard work.
I'm sticking with the Harvestone stuff from last week. So I went from the old engine oil, and I went and got the Ola WH, or known as black oil, and it's a 12. It is specially aged in selected oak cask, formerly used to mature Highland Park's beautifully balanced 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey. It is a fine, fine beer. This is really, really good. This is like a $9 beer. The other one was like $6. So this is really good. I mean, if I thought last week's was smooth, this one's even smoother. And it goes up to a 30 year, I think. So that's like a $30 beer. So I'm going to get that in a couple weeks and try it.
Well, the other one I would recommend is the one that I had, apart from the Eschaton, that I recommend beer recommendations. I would recommend the one that John and I both, that I didn't know anything about. And when I mentioned it, John made a weird noise. In fact, let's see if it works. The Trappist Rochefort 10.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
See,
there you go.
He's making his happy noise.
That is the John Beergasm meter.
I will say.
Now we need a recording of John. We need a recording of John doing that.
No.
my beer guy at Grassroots steered me wrong on one, and it was Terrapin's Moohoo.
But I haven't tried it yet. Rocks, what did you think?
It felt like, or it tasted like it wanted to be one thing, and it tastes like something else. And it's like they didn't know what to do with it. They wanted a milk chocolatey, but it really didn't have that kind of aftertaste.
Huh.
I mean, it wasn't bitter or anything, but it really didn't have any, you know.
Well, it supposedly is made with chocolate milk.
Yeah. I really couldn't.
Yeah, know. That just makes me go as well. So I am not gonna. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the old Dukes that we have here for Bold City. I mean, they've actually brewed it so that you have it. It doesn't taste initially, but once it goes down and everything, it you get that aftertaste of coffee and stuff. But it was like, I even told them, like, oh, that's not a really good pick.
And Widge, does your Hop City place have root beer?
No.
What?
Oh, what? Our place has a Vita root beer on tap, and my child has died and gone to heaven, because that's kind of the treat is that we bring an Abita root beer home.
Oh,
it is so good, Rocks. I gotta be honest.
If there's one thing for me for soda, handcrafted root beer for me.
The Abita there is really good. So yeah, you might want to tell your Hop City place. So because those parents of us that have children and will be indulgent to them, we buy them the root beer at Abita. Yeah, we buy them the Abita there.
In fairness, Widge probably isn't even bothering to look for that. He's transfixed on
root beer. Forget it.
His radar. Oh, no. His radar goes no alcohol, no alcohol, no alcohol.
Oh
alcohol.
I don't know that root. That root liqueur is good.
Well, now I did what? What? Yes. What? What?
Oh, my place has the I'm gonna say it wrong. The Ommegang Aphrodite that I've been hearing a lot about.
I've not tried that. What is that?
It is a champagne light carbonation. It's a Belgian style fruit. Grains of paradise are infused in the nectar, and when poured, Aphrodite is crowned with a luxuriously shimmering rose pink head. But I've heard really good things about it, that it
so
actually
am
is
I.
Much more champagne like. What did you say, John?
Nothing.
You didn't say a thing.
Jonathan.
Nothing was said.
You said it was a girl beard, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
not say
Lee
that.
And this
beard.
This beer has even less bubbles than the one last week.
Nice. No very bubbles. Good. Bubbles are bad. Big bubbles hurt.
Why?
Whoa.
See, I like big bubbles and I cannot lie.
I bet you do.
So Rocks, while we're talking about alcohol, I think I found something that you need to add to your universal wish list.
Ooh,
it is probably the Roxest online store I've found in quite some time.
Oh Lord,
are you familiar with KrakenRumStore.com?
No,
no.
I'm looking
at this right now.
All right, I want to hear Rox's reaction to the number one gift that is listed on the featured products on the left hand side, a very specific thing that I think will delight her.
Kraken with a K or a C? Okay.
With a K. KrakenRumStore.com.
We're all sitting here typing.
Type.
Yes, I don't even know how I found it, but I found it over the weekend and I thought of you.
The left hand side under gifts.
Featured products. What's the first one you see there?
Perfume.
Ode to Kraken perfume.
Wow.
The pure essence of the monstrous beast.
That is Lord.
For perfume that you'd get at Belk's or something, that runs around. Wow.
A unique new fragrance for men and women with distinct cephalopod undertones. Release the Kraken with every spritz.
Wow.
It's almost as bad as that. Axe stuff that they're making.
No. Rocks. This is what you need to do. You need to send them like all the stuff we've done, like Black Phoenix, and say, you know, we do perfume. Maybe you can send us a pre-sample.
Oh, okay.
You know what?
I do have to say, Rob's that? Right now it is out. They are out of stock, but try.
Oh.
Yes, they have everything from shirts to wallpaper to shower curtains to lamps.
Oh my God.
I can't.
Oh my gosh, moleskine notebooks, kids. Yeah. I know Kim want one of these.
There you go.
Wrap paper. That's
wrapping
expensive.
Paper. It is because it's print on demand, boy. Basically.
They have the tin signs, Rocks.
Yes,
Kraken, put a beast in your belly.
I just about want one of those, I must say.
Signs.
Actually, that is not a bad sign. And the evolution
beast
of Kraken.
In your belly. Beast, yes, in your belly.
They have a book. They have a book about Kraken that is both about the rum and about Krakens in general, which I love.
Kraken tote bag.
Show that up at your
battle. You gotta have a tote bag.
All right, that does it.
What? Oh my God, there's apparel. There's clothes.
I know. They also have handkerchiefs.
Those are pretty cool. Yes. I like the release the crack.
That tell stories.
Wow.
Basically,
I was shouting at people for the last 5 minutes, and I just realized I've been on mute the whole time.
Oh my God. That's who's going to get the shower curtain. Where's the shower curtain?
Rocks, I will admit that the shower curtain is on my wish list already.
Well, you know, you guys want
it
this.
It is $60 as well.
I know. Well,
you
that's
could
why
spend,
you...
spend a lot on a shower curtain. Well, here's the thing about shower curtains, just so you know, because I used to work in domestics, is that's your outer layer. Then the what you want to do is put a shower liner that's closer to the, you know, when you're showering, so you don't ruin this lovely Kraken shower curtain.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The Kraken battle handkerchief with the piranhas is making me so damn happy. I gotta be honest.
I know. I mean, how can you? First of all, I think this is so smart because really, the thing that gets you to try the rum is the fact that it's called Kraken rum. Because how can you resist anything having to do with giant monstrous squid?
Kraken. Of course.
And then once you get it, it's fucking delicious, and you can't stop drinking. So.
And you can say a line that has both been said by Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson.
Release the
Kraken.
Yes. Oh, I thought you meant I will find you and I will kill you. And I was like, why did Laurence Olivier say that?
I think he said that
in The Entertainer.
Wait, no, I thought he said that in Boys from Brazil, actually.
I have a question.
I think it was Henry V. I mean, yeah, it was retranslated into like Shakespearean language, but I think he said that.
No, I think it was Dr. Mengele.
All right, I got a question though. Yes. How long is Liam Neeson in Battleship?
He's probably in for like five minutes. Because the trailer, now I will say
about
this.
7 minutes too long.
The trailer
implies that he dies. Implies very strongly that he dies. So I think that's kind of silly. But all I can say is if this paycheck is what enables him to go and do Taken 2, I don't fucking care.
He's already filming Taken 2, right?
I have a theory on why he's in so many movies right now, which is just, it's kind of sad, actually. But after his wife died, I think he just kind of threw himself into, like, I'll just work.
Lee, that's not a theory. That is actually what is happening.
Oh, is that what he said? I'm sorry. I don't really read
it. In Gray, Lee, the director reaction.
A little spoiler.
No.
That's all I said. Director note.
Hang on. John. Wait. Hang on. John, to alleviate your concerns, there's nothing we're talking about that's not already in the trailer, basically. He has separated from his wife in the trailer. He's missing his wife. And he is saying the speech from the trailer in the movie. And knowing the backstory about him actually missing his wife, oh my fucking God, it was brutal.
Yeah, actually, it kind of hit me. It was like, ooh.
He does know how to make a set of hobo bare knuckle, you know.
Those were pretty cool.
Those things are awesome. Yeah. I want to see it. I really want to see a Dragon Con panel of how to make those.
Well, I will. I think you should send something to costuming right now.
Maybe you'll have to run it.
Sir, if you're assuming she would let anyone else run it.
No, that's true.
Sorry. I retract the statement. Now that Witch has pointed out the most likely scenario.
Oh my god. So anyway, so there you go. If anyone's looking for something for rocks for any occasion, KrakenRumStore.com.
KrakenRumStore.
And wait, do they sell them in like the little tiny bottles?
No. I think there's a gift thing, Scott.
Well, no, because you can drink the rum and then you can turn the little tiny bottles into the hobo knuckles.
Kraken.
Ah,
yeah.
That's a good tie-in. That's good. Uh-huh.
Let's see.
Actually, I don't see booze listed.
Hold on. Look in the gift kit.
I think it would be a bad idea to send booze via the internet. I think a few kids would probably take advantage of that.
Okay, Aaron, let me tell you why you're wrong. Hang on, Aaron, let me tell you why you're wrong. Because that was the whole defense of why Georgia and many other states, they said they didn't want internet sales of alcohol. But really, I don't know how it is in Ireland, but here, kids, when you are under the age of 21, anything that you could potentially want to buy over the internet, you could get for much cheaper by just sending somebody's older brother to go get it.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me also add something else there. As somebody who is in a wine club, or two, actually, they actually put these huge stickers. They put these huge damn stickers on it that says, this contains alcohol. Someone 21 must sign for it. So when they deliver it, they actually, you have to be here and then show them your ID to get it.
Yeah, and
why is the delivery guy in charge of IDing people now? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
The UPS FedEx guy will ID you.
And you know, he'll just be fooled by the two little kids standing on each other and the big overcoat.
Oh, Scott, you're watching the little rascals again, aren't you?
Oh, can we talk about back to the Little Rascals. Does not the Three Stooges movie trailer look so bad you just want to cry?
We've talked about this.
Oh, I'm sorry I wasn't here. I'll be quiet now.
No. You can bring it up. It's fine. Nothing.
Three Stooges think that just is, oh my God.
It does. The weird thing is, as a person that watches the Three Stooges, They do have their mannerisms down. They really do. Unfortunately, the whole thing is just so out of place. Now, if they did this whole thing where they transported him into the future, that might have been cool.
Oh, no, whoa, wait a minute. Rocks. They did that with a cartoon. Wasn't it the Robo Stooges or something?
Oh, yeah, that was. Yeah, but that was Hanna-Barbera. They don't know how to handle stuff like that. Everybody has the same running noise. That
yeah. Slapstick is definitely not in Hanna-Barbera's wheelhouse.
No, it really isn't. I mean, how many moves does El Kabong have? Two.
How many moves does Mo have? Four.
He's got a lot. Oh my gosh! There is something about Mo Howard and how he came up with that slap is amazing.
Rocks. Let me ask you something.
I'm being serious.
When you think of Mo Howard, do you get a little wet?
No, actually, the one I would sleep with is Larry. Okay.
Oh my God.
John,
okay.
Did not just ask that.
Okay, hang on. All right. You know what? It's the subject has been breached. So therefore, Lee, which Stooge would you sleep with?
Oh no, Lee.
If you had to sleep. Stooge, I use this question a lot amongst, you know, if I'm at a cocktail party and there's like several women, I'm like, okay, and I've done that. And they're all shocked. And yet, everybody has an answer. Go ahead,
I actually want to know about Scott, though.
And Lee, I'll even let you use Shemp, you know, Curly and Mo. I'll let you use five. There's five of them you can choose from.
Technically, there are five Stooges, so yeah.
So, which one?
Oh my God.
You have to take one for the team, Lee.
So the world is going to end unless I sleep with a Stooge?
Or if it was like high school, then you have to take one from everyone in the team.
Some of us can do that in high school, young man. Some of us left high school.
Wait, was it just me then?
Yeah, that was just you. That was just you. Sorry.
Aaron, was that a confession?
They just didn't want me.
I thought I left high school pure of heart. It wouldn't be Mo. So no.
And you don't have to explain anything. Just go with it.
Just pick. Do you have a dice with you? Roll that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Larry. I think that would be the least offensive of.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now, Scott, which dude?
That
you
still
sleep
makes
with?
Me throw
yeah,
up in my mouth.
Scott, which one would you sleep with?
All of them.
At one time.
Yes.
Just the sturdy kind.
With their athletic abilities, with all that slapstick, can you imagine the positions they could get into?
There you go, lady.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm bendy.
Yes, you are.
Oh my god.
And especially if you introduce some S&M, oh my god.
Oh my gosh,
you know, officially,
yeah.
Officially, folks,
god.
The right answer to this question was
my head. Oh god, my head is hot and S&M and the Three Stooges. Ow, ow. Oh god, I need more drugs.
Well played, Aaron.
I'm surprised no one took that quicker.
Ow.
Oh god.
Hold on, I need to write that down.
So yes, in answer to that, the trailer for the Three Stooges looks terrible.
It looks just
what
like
it's got Snooki in it.
Oh, God, I mean, here's
hey,
the thing. It's
Aaron,
like
it's the end
did,
of the.
Did you
world.
Do a trailer park on that?
Hang on, what, John? What was that?
I was just wondering if you did a trailer park on or whatever it is.
On the Three Stooges.
Tease me, whatever it is.
Tease me. No, I didn't. Surprisingly.
Why haven't
how many that? How many tissues have you used for the Avengers trailer so far?
Oh,
I've stopped bothering to shoot into a cup.
This is serious. You put that on Twitter. I think I was drinking tea and I was like snorfling it out. So thank you.
You were snorfling my spooge out. Okay.
No, 108.50.
Ow.
John, that is a perfect soundboard. I just shoot into a cup and I'm snorfling it out. It'd be the first combo soundboard.
Oh god.
it's like a train on the soundboard.
Feature. I know.
So, Widge, I actually have a question for you about a movie that may or may not be getting made.
Yeah, what's up?
Chips.
Everybody loves chips.
No, it was coming. No, it was coming.
Or as we call them, crisps.
That's good. Well played, sir.
Well, the law of relative development says that it is in development somewhere. So that's done.
I thought it was already cast as Wildo Vilmorana or whatever from that 70s show. I thought he was going to be Ponch.
I haven't heard anything about it, but I may have been in denial. I don't know. Let's see.
Might have stumped Widge.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, basically, here's the thing. It is, he looks to be attached, but that doesn't mean anything. The IMDb lists it as coming in 2013, so next year.
So we really hope the Mayan calendar is right and everything doesn't.
Well, I mean,
now don't be a hater, Lee.
Okay, so here I
see a creator.
Well, hang on. I am looking at the Chips Wiki. Okay, which is probably more accurate than Wikipedia.
On facts of Ben Stiller, Benjamin Franklin, and other guys named Ben.
Let's see.
Don't ask me.
It is, yes. It is basically going to be. They're looking at doing like Starsky and Hutch with it. So humorous. So, but basically nobody, there's no director. There's only a script and there's, Wilmer Valderrama, if I'm saying the name correctly. And it's been pushed back twice.
Cool.
So
that's not a good sign.
No.
Now it might be interesting. You know, well, 21 Jump Street movie is definitely coming out. If that does well, that might boost up chips.
Yeah, Scott, yeah, you're absolutely, well, you're absolutely right. Just out of curiosity, I'll look this up. Let me see if I can find it. What 21 Jump Street actually has to do to be considered to be doing well.
And this was before what's his face?
Channing Tatum?
No, the other one.
Jonah Hill?
The fat kid.
Yeah. Before
he's not fat anymore.
Yeah, right. Before he did like Moneyball and stuff, that might.
Well, you know,
his price probably wasn't too much for making the movie, so that would help.
No, I don't think the price is too much for the film itself. I mean, unless, you know, I don't know, Ice Cube is asking a lot. Probably not. Since, you know, he's getting all those Are We There Yet checks. But no, I mean, what I don't know that 21 Jump Street would probably make its money back.
Can it make any dough? I don't think so.
Well,
by Hollywood standards.
Well, I mean, that part of the problem is Hollywood standards. I mean, you're absolutely right, Servin, that Hollywood standards are pretty much fucked in that they have this weird disconnect between they care about making number one at the box office. They don't care about making money. Making money is almost secondary to the image of making money, which is why you have so many films that made money that are still considered flops that aren't. I mean, like even Sony's Godzilla made money.
Yes.
But there's a blog post out there about like 10 films that you think are flops that really aren't. But the stigma associated with not succeeding is bigger than the stigma associated from not making money. I would also be interested to see what the international market would do with something like 21 Jump Street. Just because I have no idea. It may do nothing whatsoever.
If it's like cars and guns and explosions, those do relatively well.
Can I make
you can't
a,
do that action movies do relatively Jump Street? Well.
Can I make a in confession?
The TV show was big over here as well.
But I mean that's the question. Really? If it was big overseas, then the movie might do well as well. John, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna make a confession in saying that I actually think 21 Jump Street doesn't look bad for what it is.
Shit, you mean?
No. Look, I'm going to compare it to, I can't remember the other Jonah Hill vehicle, for some reason with, the guy who plays the same.
Superbad?
Superbad. Thank you. I was going to say the guy who plays the same character everywhere he goes. Michael, whatever his name is, that show. Yes. Things, stuff, words. No, but I think if you put it like in the realm of like Superbad or whatever, it doesn't look like a bad film. I mean, it's not going to be
funny
cinema. No, I actually think it will be funny.
Well, there's only one funny line in the trailer. That's the thing.
They're saving it all for the film.
If it wasn't considered a remake, I think if it was just considered a brand new film and didn't have the baggage of
Johnny
being
Depp.
Johnny Jump Street movie.
Well, see, Aaron, here's my thing is that I never watched the original series. For me, it's just not funny. I mean, the trailer's not funny. There's only one funny line in it. Now, the one funny line that's in it is really good, but normally the problem is all your funny lines are in the trailer. So if you pulled all the funny lines out of your movie and there's one, that's a problem.
Yeah, but 21 Jump Street wasn't supposed to be funny, right?
It wasn't a comedy. It was a crime.
It was
90210 before there was 90210 with cops.
But yeah. They were like, it was like, what was that? It wasn't John Cusack. Who was the other one that went back to school because he was hiding from the mob?
John Cryer.
Yeah, John Cryer.
I mean,
Cryer? Yeah, that idea. Yeah.
But I mean, other than busting crack, kids selling crack. I mean, what could be said, really?
And Wiz, I don't know if this will sway you, but one of the writers for 21 Jump Street was also the writer on the screenplay.
Dutton Abbey?
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So, you know, there is hope in there.
Yeah, but in to counter that point, and I'm taking both sides of the fence, I know that.
We know that about you.
Yes, I do play both sides. The in defense of that is that Scott Pilgrim actually had good source material. 21 Jump Street, though I did watch it when I was younger, is the source material was really not that great.
Well, it isn't one of those things you go, oh, I loved 21 Jump Street when I was a kid. It was great. You're like, yeah, I used to watch 21 Jump Street. You know, you're kind of embarrassed about it. Let's just be honest.
It's responsible for Richard Grieco. That's all I keep saying.
It is responsible for Richard Grieco, and it is also responsible for Johnny Depp.
Whatever, but it's also responsible for Richard Grieco.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
and not Halle Berry, but
DeLuise.
She married Pete,
right? Yes, Don DeLuise's son got his start on it, and then went into directing. Yeah. Oh boy,
yeah. After that stint on C-Lab, CS whatever. Thing.
Well, he did actually. He directed.
Hang on, Stan. Which of you was on the drugs? I can't keep.
I don't try. I can't remember what he played that dog guy or something. I don't
plead the fifth.
Sequest. There you go.
And he also actually after Sequest went into directing, and he directed a lot of the Stargate SG-1 episodes. He was like,
Which DeLuise brother? Which DeLuise son is that? Because there's also the DeLuise son that's on Prince's things, Waverly Place stuff. Words.
What? This is the third DeLuise son.
The Wizards
of Waverly Place. Wait, why would you know that, Surf?
I just know stuff.
Sure.
And
how much?
Now we know.
How much better is it medicated? That's what I want to know. How much better is that show medicated?
How would I know?
Now, I got a question.
Maybe I've only seen the show one way, if that makes any sense.
Now, let me ask you this. In a hypothetical world where people medicate themselves, how popular is Yo Gabba Gabba?
Yo Gabba Gabba!
Because that's the only reason why I can think that show's on the air.
No, little kids love it. Yeah,
kids love it.
I think adults.
Is that the one with all the musicians on it, though?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people go on it, but
a lot of people show up on Yo Gabba Gabba. Jack Black showed up on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Chromeo had a really nice one on that, where they were getting people to make sure they wash their hands in this crazy 80s funky Prince kind of song. Mm-hmm. It's fucking brilliant.
But just little children.
Jack Black is actually
a whore.
Gabba, so.
Have you watched it, John?
Yes, I have.
It's literally kind of.
With
your morning coffee, honestly, people. I swear, you don't need anything else. It literally, you do kind of go like, what? How much caffeine do I have in this coffee?
Just a quick YouTube search, right? Says that the Flaming Lips are on it. Mos Def was on it.
Yeah.
Which again,
Anthony
go back
to Bourdain.
So all you're doing, Aaron.
Wait, Anthony Bourdain?
Aaron, yes.
Oh my gosh, that would be funny.
Oh, I gotta find that.
And lights up a cigarette afterward.
Aaron, all you're doing is making my point for me. The only reason why those people would be on there.
Yeah, it's true. Kids like Anthony Bourdain as a young.
He talks about it on his show anyway. So.
Yeah.
I just don't think you have to be high to want to see this.
Oh, wow. You know, you could follow them on Twitter.
I just think it would be better.
Oh, I'm sure it would be fun, but so isn't a lot of things.
Yeah, it's probably more entertaining than Charlie Rhodes in the morning now. Charlie Rose.
Robot Chicken's good.
Yeah,
but not for little children. I'm not a little child.
All I'm going to say is this song by Chromeo I'm putting in the chat room is sexy, and it's about washing your hands and on a kid's show, and it makes you want to have sex. It's kind of all the things you need right now.
Well, you do kind of want to wash your hands after sex.
Let's all wash our hands and keep it nice and clean with Chromeo.
You see, I always thought of myself as a VCB, a very clean boy. I guess things were different.
Jesus.
Okay, for the listeners, they're inside of a sink.
Well, like, what? Why wouldn't you be?
And then all the Yo Gabba Gabba characters are dancing around.
So, Scott?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you consider yourself a VCB?
No. I'm very dirty.
A what? Very clean boy.
No, I'm very dirty. Is that a hookah?
Wait a minute, P. Did you wash your hands before?
You are right. This is a very Prince-esque tune.
So Scott.
Yes.
So since you are a VDB.
Okay, that sounds a little close to VD, and I don't think we want to go there.
I'm not going there, but I can't speak for you. But what I wanted to ask is that being a VDB, do you mind VCBs, or do you prefer other VDBs like yourself?
I like it all.
Or PCBs.
I should not be surprised, since you basically wanted all the Stooges at once.
Exactly.
Nothing like a gang stooging.
What do you know?
Leather up.
And of course, finish off with the cream pie.
Oh, God.
In the face.
That was pretty tight. That's right. I said that.
Yo.
You are so down with it, John.
Now, I got to point out, first of all, I've been doing this entire podcast standing up. Second of all...
Why aren't you sitting down?
Who stole your chairs?
You have an erection, you sit down. It's a bit uncomfortable.
Second of all, I left earlier because you guys kept talking about Kraken, so I've been drinking, since no one asked what I was drinking, I decided to have Kraken with classic Dr. Pepper.
Ooh, that's awesome. Ooh,
that is very tasty.
That's called an olive oil.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is. Always say things with conviction, kids. See?
It's true. Makes you believe it.
Also kind of makes you a liar, but whatever.
Lying, speaking with conviction,
drinking,
it's not like she's a politician. PolitiFact isn't checking her. It's all right.
Going to see 21 Jump Street. It's all bad things, kids, but we encourage it.
But,
So much.
That's why Weekend Justice is here.
Yes.
Weekend Justice for the delinquent in all of you.
Making all of your bad decisions for you.
Or the delinquent who is in you.
Oh. That would be a VDB, very delinquent boy.
Mostly, but with tighter pants.
Oh, did anyone see the Wicker Man trailer, the Muppet Wicker Man trailer?
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. What'd you think of it?
Oh my God, it was awesome. It was so creepy. And it's
so fucked up.
Scott, find it and put it in the link. So yeah, they use one of the songs and it's all stills and it's creepy and it's so much better than that Nicolas Cage remake.
Well, let's be honest, what wouldn't be?
I've had poops better than that movie.
Yeah.
Night, Lee.
Bye, Lee.
Lee.
She sounded cheerful. Why did she leave?
The drugs that she thinks she took that you actually took in her place, Rox, and you swapped for Tic Tacs, she thinks they're taking effect.
Okay.
The lime and orange ones are really good, though.
Yeah, they are good. They're fruity.
Like Scott.
What up?
It's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Yes, indeed. It's all true.
Where's old Tuffley been?
I don't know. I was hoping Kim was on because a friend of mine was talking about who plays Mass Effect. I know this is like a non-gamer group if we don't have Mike and...
I picked up Mass Effect 2, but I have not started playing it yet. I picked it up because it was only like $8.
Oh, okay.
Which is confusing because
book tie-ins, the book tie-ins for any game and any game, like BattleTech, they always have novels,
Scrabble
stories,
words,
Scrabble. Yeah. Anyway,
still Aaron's
yeah. So it's like the D&D books and stuff. Well, apparently the creators of Mass Effect decided, we'll have a novel tie-in.
with the game.
That's a novel idea.
It is a novel idea. However, the author that they got...
Hold on, wait. I need to write that down.
didn't do, like, didn't play the game or anything, and all of the items, all the stuff that was in the book is wrong.
Well, the comic book writers have been getting away with doing that for years.
I know, but like somebody's got two heads and crap like that. So, you know, at least if you're going to write a book about a game, at least play the game or something, or get Cliff Notes.
Or if you're going to write a movie called Game of Shadows, at least know what you're doing.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. So,
well.
It was a slam, wasn't it? I think
so. Well, to be fair, the movie wasn't bad. It just wasn't great.
All right.
What I'm hearing is it sucked balls.
Hey, Aaron.
No, wasn't that bad.
Aaron, have you seen The Muppets yet?
No.
Oh my gosh, then see The Muppet Wicker Man. You would like it. Go to YouTube. Type in.
I'm not going to do it now.
Do it now. It's only like a minute.
Ladies,
you weren't doing anything anyway.
I don't know that you want to bring that to the ladies' attention. By the way,
it's either masturbate or watch The Muppets Wicker Man.
There you go. See,
sir, I always go by the ethos that there's no point in getting a girl's hopes up. I mean, at least let them know that you're going to be shit, because then if you're anyway halfway decent, it's a surprise and an improvement. It's better than they thought it was going to be, and that's always a good thing.
It's how I've lived my life.
The problem is you're already putting yourself down, so what's her incentive to follow through with it?
Well, because she could just say, I have a minute to kill.
Serve, if she's going to sleep with me, she's already desperate. So, I mean, I don't think I really have to.
It's the end of the night, and you're the last guy at the bar because you're bendy?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's be honest. Aaron is desperate.
Oh, wow, Scott. Might make it personal. Cheers.
No, you were the one who couldn't get the action at a gay bar.
Well, no, I'm not the gay man's type, it seems to be.
Oh, wait. So, Aaron, you say that with the air of someone who has gone out trying to get picked up by gay men. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's what seems to be coming across.
No, I was at a gay bar recently with my friend Brian from Cabin Fever. And he was getting come onto like a fucking demon.
Really?
Wait. Just did he have like soda water to clean that up? Never mind. Sorry. Go on.
Cricket.
Go on, your story.
I love you, Scott, but not that way. So Brian was getting come on to like crazy. All the guys loved them. I felt a little bit put out. Not that I was looking for it, but it would have been nice if
somebody paid attention to me.
Really?
Well, it's always nice to feel pretty.
You're pretty, Aaron. I think you're pretty.
See, I think that should go on the soundboard. I think it's always nice to feel pretty having Aaron say that. I think that needs to go on the soundboard.
Well, maybe because Brian...
Right, calling attention to the soundboard doesn't make the soundboard do things. Fearful. Trust me, I've tried.
What? What'd you say, Rox?
I said Brian's got a cute personality.
Oh, you calling him ugly? That's tough.
Now, if...
Oh, I forgot. No, I'm saying it in the American way.
If Brian...
And with conviction.
And if,
conviction.
If Brian was a stooge, what stooge would he be?
Oh.
And would you then do him?
Huh. I would say he's that Curly Joe. No.
Hey, Widge, I do have to ask this question though.
Yeah.
If Tim Burton was casting the Three Stooges.
Oh God.
Alright, so you've gotta have do you have Johnny Depp as Mo, Rox? I mean, do you have a choice?
No, I think he could play Larry.
Really?
You want to sleep with Larry.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Sir, cutting through the bullshit since 2012.
Well, I think you got to have Helena Bonham Carter as whatever female lead is in the film.
Mom, yeah.
As Snooki.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
This is tough. Wow.
Because you need two more Stooges.
Yeah.
And you need like...
Oh my gosh, you know what we could do then? We could throw... oh my God, why don't we throw Ron Wood a bone and let him be in it?
Okay, so let's get to it.
Instead of Keith Richards. That would be funny.
If you want, you cast, not that he particularly has anything to do with Tim Burton, but you cast for Larry, Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
He would make kind of a morose Larry, which is, I think, right up Tim Burton's alley. So,
if you recast the Big Lebowski as the Three Stooges,
oh,
because you'd have but
Bridges as Mo, Steve Buscemi as Larry, and John Goodman as Curly. You might be onto something.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
No,
sometimes I say intelligent
things. There will be more drinking. That's
just
for sure.
Just so you know, the original casting when they were doing this was Sean Penn as Larry, Benicio del Toro as Mo, and Jim Carrey as Curly.
What?
I still say that was a rumor made up by a madman.
I think so. That's no. Now the weird thing is there was that made for TV movie and Chiklis played Curly and he didn't do such a bad job.
Well,
the other two guys were crap, but
if it was
okay. Yeah, but that was like a biopic thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a biopic.
Okay.
Well, there was that, but no, Del Toro, if it was a joke, it was one he was in on because he apparently was interviewed about it while doing press stuff for the Wolfman and and mentioned it.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, and originally they were also talking about Hank Azaria to play Mo.
Now I can see that. Yeah. I can see that because he did really great as what's his name in Mystery Men. I can see that.
And he plays Mo.
Lou Raja.
And he plays Mo every Sunday.
Yeah. Yes.
God, Mystery Men. What a
awesome.
What a great movie. And what's funny was I remember when what was it? When I talked to was it Paul Richardson, the head of Dark Horse, and I mentioned about their films, and he was defending Mystery Men. He'd have to defend it to me because I loved it. But he was talking about Universal released that. I'm fairly certain it was Universal. Universal released it like the same weekend as three incredibly huge films.
Yes.
So that Mystery Men got put into the smallest cinemas they had and was gone with like weeks.
Yes.
Which is a fucking shame because God, that was a great movie.
It was. The Herkimer.
I would say it's done very well in TV America.
It probably has. It probably has. But yeah, who else do we cast? I mean, if you got Johnny Depp as Larry.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp as Curly and Johnny Depp as Mo in Do It All CG. You know he'd be up for that.
Yeah, he could do that.
Oh my God. A motion capture of Three Stooges?
And I don't know, we can now throw in Daniel Radcliffe because he's mobile and he can probably do some slapstick.
Was he paralyzed for a while?
No, but the thing is, no. What I'm saying is now he's of the Hammer pantheon.
Well, Aaron, what you don't know is that he did a 6-month tour in the Diving Bell and the Butterfly, the stage show. So he spent a lot of time not moving.
There you go. Iron lung.
That's a poetry joke, folks. If you're keeping up at home,
what?
Write that off your scorecards.
What's a poetry joke?
Oh no, sorry, it's not a poet. It's not a sorry. No. I'm thinking about
it. It was no, you got it wrong. It's clown in an iron lung. That was off Broadway. It was experimental theater that Daniel Radcliffe wanted to try, so he would put makeup on so he could play.
Someone running a bath?
What happens with a clown having to live in an iron lung?
I don't know whose channel that's coming through, but it does sound like someone's pressure washing something.
Scott, is that your gran again?
No!
Is she now, you know, she went from vacuuming during our podcast. Now she's washing the house down.
No!
Are you
She's not doing anything.
Are you being a VCB? Are you lathering up right now?
I'm fairly lathered up right now.
you hit your head?
I lean back and hit my head on my chair. I haven't been drinking!
Why not?
Wait, you have. You confessed at the very beginning that you were drinking.
I know. I'm having blackouts! Leave me alone!
The dungeon at Wedge Manor is really starting to turn into a crazy fucking place.
Oh, shit. All right, so should we do introductions then?
No.
Okay, fine.
Stop the podcast.
Oh, my God. All right, yes, we should do introductions.
You know what's funny? I did a search for closing time. He may have missed it earlier, but anyway. I did closing time, and then like 16 Tom Waits songs came up.
Yes, yes.
What? It's because the album. Duh. Never mind.
Why are we looking at? Yeah, exactly. Why are we looking up closing time?
I didn't look over to the right hand side.
Yes, that's a great album, and that's a great song. It's an instrumental song, actually. But why were you looking up closing time? I missed that.
Never mind. Because someone had referenced getting picked up at closing time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's Aaron.
Well, yeah, that's true. I got that now. I'm with you.
Uh-huh. Hey, Wade, you want to do an introduction?
Yeah, let's do an introduction. Jesus. All right. We'll do introductions. And we'll do them. Starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio train wreck on the internet, and in fact the number one audio train wreck in the rest of the real world as well. We did a study. It was a study that was science. So we're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have John from the Unique Geek. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, good. We also have Serv is here with us. Hi, Serv.
Hey, Widge.
I'm so glad you're here to be the sober one among us.
Yes, yes, as usual.
Serv sounds like now he has swallowed his microphone.
He's got two turntables and, oh, he had a microphone, but he swallowed it.
He got the munchies, so.
What?
It's the Earth 2 Serv, who is, you know, a teetotaler.
He punched the wall.
Oh, God. It's the one from Earth Prime with Ultra Awe. We have Aaron Poole with us as well. Hi, Aaron.
I'm very proud that we've replaced Milli Vanilli as the number one real world audio train wreck.
Yes, we have. It was a close call, though. We actually had to go back for a runoff.
We just have working microphones. That's the difference, really.
That's true. We did sabotage your microphones. So we also have Rox Spaz House is with us. Hi, Rox.
Accidents will occur in the best regulated families. Charles Dickens.
Nothing like Dickens with conviction. We're recording this on Dickens'
200th
birthday. Right. 200th birthday. Woo.
So does Willard Scott have to mention him twice?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, he gets some Smucker's jelly jam. It's boysenberry.
By the way, Dickens with Conviction is my Scott C. cover band.
Oh, my God. All right. Aaron, I urge you before the next time you're on the show, hopefully next week, is to show up with a track listing for that album.
Huh?
Huh?
Exactly. The album, from the cover band, whatever the album is, what would be the track listing? What are those Scott C. songs that you're covering? Besides Cricket.
Oh my God, I know the album name.
What is it?
My Dirty Wedding Dress. It's Miss Havisham. Since we're calling it,
although we could do that in California now.
With Conviction, My Dirty Wedding Dress.
We could do that in California now.
There you go.
Wait.
The album's name.
Hang on, Scott. I don't think there was any legislation barring you from wearing a dirty wedding dress.
I couldn't wear the wedding dress with Conviction in California until they moved.
Well played. That is very true. And of course, I was trying to say that was Scott C. Hi, Scott.
Puberty Lightning.
Which?
Yeah, John?
Did you want to do introductions now?
I'm really terrified by the
idea of
some kind of horrible.
What?
Hello and welcome to Weekend Justice, home of the Weekend Justice League. It's your number one audio train wreck on the internet. My name is Aaron Poole. I'm the host of the show. Along with me this week, going from my right to your left, is John from the Unique Geek. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, Aaron?
We have also Rox of Spaz House with us, our resident artist. How are you, Rox?
Fuck off.
Oh, okay. We also have our Minister of Naughty Bits, Scott C., on the line. Scott C., how are you doing?
Who the fuck do you think you are?
He did say
with us, but not all the way with us, is Serv. How are you doing, Serv?
I'm doing quite well, but thank you very much.
I'm guessing on the show with us this week is a man by the name of Widget Walson, I think. Is that right, Widget Walson?
I sometimes go by Widget Walson. That's correct.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Hopefully you survive the experience.
I will try. I will try. It's like a really badly written issue of Exiles all of a sudden.
Watchtower.
It's like what if the Weekend Justice League fought World War II in space?
No, I think there should be an issue of Watchtower.
Watchtower? Is that like the...
It's the Jehovah's Witness.
You know, oh my God. I think what should happen is, I think that someone should write and produce an issue of JLA Watchtower, and it's like a Jehovah's Witness thing, but as done through the eyes of the Justice League.
Okay,
I think that'd be great.
There is the internet, so I'm going to imagine it already has been done.
That is very wise of you.
No, this is what it is. That's what the greatest challenge of the Jehovah's Witnesses is: be the first one to knock on the door of the Watchtower on the moon.
Now, what is the Jehovah's Witness deal, though? Because I found out about Mormons thanks to South Park.
Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that there's only like 4,000 people going to heaven, but somehow they're one of them.
Yeah. Okay, and who told them this?
Jehovah, and they witnessed it. I don't know.
They were the people that come to your house on a Saturday.
Well, probably not Aaron's house, because Aaron's house is a bit of a drive.
Now, listen, I'm not going to besmirch anybody's belief system, whatever they want to believe.
Come on.
I'll do it.
I leave that up to the professionals. Being a good scout, I don't do that. But they do believe, I got to find the exact number, and that wasn't a joke, that somehow there's more people than the number of people that will actually go to heaven that are Jehovah's Witnesses. So at some point I would just go, what's my point here doing any of this?
That would make an awesome, like, serial killer movie plotline. That a guy is trying to knock off the extra members of the church to try and make sure he can get in.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is that in the final reel, the way they distract him, because you always distract the serial killer in order to be able to take him out, is they point out the huge fallacy in his plan is that by killing them, he's actually sending them to heaven before him.
Yep.
Ah, and like it'd be like it'll have like a Planet of the Apes sort of ending where he's screaming on a beach going, damn you!
Okay, here exactly. Wait, here you go. I found it.
Oh, you did.
Okay, go ahead. No, after you.
They interpret Revelations 14, 1 through 5 to mean that the number of Christians going to heaven is limited to exactly 144,000. That's it.
Yep.
The remainder hope to live forever in an earthly paradise. Which, of course, if you read Revelations further, Earth isn't the place you want to be during Revelations.
Now, maybe if you want adventure and you're in that Left Behind series, then maybe.
Yes, but if you're a fireman. Guys, no. Yes.
This took a
while. If man is five, then the devil is six, then the devil is six, then the devil is six, then the devil is six. Then God is seven. God is seven. God is seven. No Pixies fans on the line? Okay.
Okay, listen, Aaron, I was led to understand.
I was on mute, Aaron. I was saying
that. Hey, man, I thought there was like a skip in his record or something.
Yeah.
No, Matt.
That's Monkey Gone to Heaven.
Good God.
So, yeah.
You let me down, sir. You let me down.
I was just late.
But well, that's what my ex-girlfriend said, and she's not around anymore, so what does that say?
Well, that's why
she was late?
Your fiance.
You sure all you don't have a kid?
all I can say is that that's all well and good, but as we know, if you read further in the Book of Revelation, everything was destroyed by a wave of mutilation. A wave of mutilation.
Now, I will tell you this. This is either so you're going to believe this or you're not going to believe this. My friends wrote a song called, was it?
I don't believe you.
Okay, don't believe me. Called Revelation 29. I forget what the end of the Revelations book is, but where it says, you know, no, nothing shall be written after this. And they said it's the one track that they were recording that constantly was getting screwed up and getting messed up. And so if you believe in those kind of things.
Oh, I can do better than that.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Several years ago, we were going to film a video skit for the Mickey Fowls Club, and it was called Father Frankie's Songs of Faith. It was like a send-up of those big albums, things like Kay Tell You to Do, but it was our resident priest, Father Frankie, who just loves to reach out and help young children, if you know what I mean. So we were doing it at the person
Scott,
yes.
Explain.
Scott, did he drink the puberty lightning energy drink that you mentioned earlier?
No, he drank something else, but we'll get
okay, good. Just check.
But what happened was we were going to film it at somebody's house, and we had everything set up. We had the video camera, and we were all ready to go. The woman said action, and we lost power.
And your grandmother started vacuuming.
And pressure washing the outside of the movie.
No, I'm serious. The power went out just as she said action, and I was like, oh shit. God is not happy.
Oh.
I'm serious. Well, I think the timing was eerie.
If you listen to most like religions though, I mean God's already not happy with you, Scott, so I don't think I'd really take it down to the movie thing.
Awkward.
All right. They're,
I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that's what they think.
No, I know. And I think we can pretty much agree that pretty much membership in Weekend Justice, the Weekend Justice League, is pretty much solidified that if there is a way to get damned, you're pretty much damned. So, I mean, we're on the bus with Dennis Leary and Martin Scorsese. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Not the short bus, though.
No.
And not the bus that you have to go a certain miles per hour, otherwise it explodes.
I do have to ask you this, though, Widge.
The bang
on this bus, yes. Do the wheels go round and round?
I have not had it confirmed, but I would assume that they go round and round. And not only round and round, but round and round.
Do the people go up and down?
They do, but not in the way that Scott would like.
Oh, okay.
I'm aware that it happens all day long.
It does.
I'll be on the bang bus if you need me.
Is
that confirmed, Aaron? Is that confirmed that it goes on all day long?
All day long.
Okay.
Can you confirm how the wipers go?
Swish, swish, swish.
Oh, good.
As does Scott.
Oh, good.
So, Wipers and Scott go swish, swish, swish.
Swish, 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 swish. Just don't get the squirty kind.
Oh, God. It hurts.
It hurts so good.
Come on, baby, no, it hurts so good.
Yeah.
Sometimes, love.
You don't feel like it should. It hurts so good.
If sometimes love don't feel like it should, you might be wearing the condom wrong.
Oh, wow.
Inches.
I really wish one of our listeners would take all those, like, you know, the more you know moments and actually cut them out and make videos out of them. I think that would be awesome.
I think I've gotten the impression that our listeners are lazy. Not that I don't like you guys.
Podcast listeners in general are lazy.
That's okay, John. Don't worry about it. They're so lazy and they're not going to comment on this to tell you what a fuck you are. Oh, was I daring anyone? No.
They're not lazy when it comes to slash fiction, though.
Oh, you can't. They're prolific. You won't dare go over to needcoffee.com and comment on these posts.
No, nobody will.
You lazy bastards.
Well, so it took how many episodes till we just started openly slagging our listeners?
You know what else I heard? I heard they're all shit in bed. I'm kind of racist.
What?
Bring it on.
You know what?
What?
I believe they're all Nazis. Yes, I went there.
Now we have to end it, though, because there's nowhere else we can go.
There's nowhere, yeah. Sorry.
And that segment of Weekend Justice was brought to you by Intolerance, the new fragrance from L'Oreal.
By Kraken.
A Godwin property.
By Kraken.
Intolerance. A new fragrance by Calvin Klein.
I thought it was by Mel Gibson.
Oh, no. Intolerance has always brought me good luck.
No, and then what you've got is a string quartet in the background playing the song Intolerance by Tool. That would be great. Oh, it hurts.
So we don't really have any kind of cool shows on at the moment that we can talk about. We kind of ran out of all the cool sci-fi shows.
Smash was on last night.
Everything's like half.
So am I gay?
And I'm the gay one.
No, I mean, all the shows don't really start till March. So we're like in February.
Oh, you know what did start? You know what did start?
Mm-hmm.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh,
what? And moving on.
Are they in heels?
This will be important for Widge. They had
drag
queen zombies.
What?
Drag queen zombies.
Okay, why? Explain, Scott.
Yeah, explain. Okay, you
because
gotta...
they were the contestants were told that they needed to prepare for the Ru-pocalypse. Okay. And obviously that involves some sort of drag queen zombies.
God. You know what? It's Ooh. Like reality TV has hit rock bottom and they can't think of anything.
We will have something to talk about next week, though.
What? Because it's February. It's like Dead Month. This is the Dead
no
Month.
No pun intended, because Walking Dead's coming back, baby!
No, it is, but not for a while.
No, next week.
When's it coming
back?
Sunday.
Like
March,
next week.
Right?
This Sunday.
Oh, wait. Bye, Serve.
Oh, thank God. Bye, Serve.
I love you.
We didn't talk about Doctor Who, and he left anyway.
Oh, well.
Fuck. But what was I going to say? Mad Men is back next month, right?
Yes. And Game of Thrones starts in March, too, I believe.
Of course it's fucking going.
Of course it's fucking going. I like how you said that, like you're making it. It's like, back the fuck up, bitch.
It airs, what, Sunday. Walking Dead airs Sunday. So.
Oh, thank God.
Now I will say this. Let me just, I know I mentioned this before, but I'm delving into the box set a lot more, talking about shows we've talked about before. The Boardwalk Empire season one Blu-ray is awesome because literally I think six episodes have commentary and those are good, but they have the enhanced viewing mode, which as you watch the episode will pop up little picture in picture videos or text explaining references that they've made in the show, or it'll say, for example, If you've seen the show, you'll know this reference. Chalky White has a bundle of tools that he uses in one scene, which is, if you've seen the show at this point, you should be going, ugh. But it's basically click the red button to find out more about Chalky White's tools. Okay. And there's like this 2-minute featurette where the prop master is there explaining where the tools came from and how they did the case and all this stuff. It delves like every fucking show that is, especially period shows, should do. Fucking Mad Men, fucking Downton Abbey, all these shows should be at the level of information that Boardwalk Empire is doing. It is fucking awesome.
And for those keeping up at home, fucking Mad Men and fucking Downton Abbey are both two porn parodies coming out soon.
It's already done.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, Going Downton Abbey would be the porn one for that. And then, Mad Men. The problem with Mad Men is it's almost too easy.
Yes. They actually did one, not that I've seen it at all.
Of Mad Men.
What is it?
Hold on, I'm going to have to remember what the name is in a minute. I'll look it up. Going to my directory, Z directory. I'm sorry.
Is that the encrypted one? Please say it's encrypted.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I mean, no. What? I don't know what you're talking about.
But no, I've been so happy with the Blu-ray, especially because, Roxy, you would appreciate this. You'll hear like a song playing in the background, and they'll be like, press the red button to hear this song. And you can like break out and listen to the song. Now, also, goddamn Spotify, there is a playlist someone's doing.
Oh, really? Really? Who is it? Let me know. I already know what you're saying.
it's on Facebook. I posted it on Facebook. Someone did a playlist of all the songs that Boardwalk Empire has used. It's like 400 songs long.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I really want the one where he's like, I love the dumb ones because they're always better in bed. That song cracked me up in the first season.
I don't remember that one. Which episode was that in?
It's one of the early like episodes, like the first like I'd say half dozen. But like it was the music that kind of like, I don't know if it plays them out at the very end over the credits, but it's the real like kind of Al Jolson,
it's hard to say on what they use for the ending because it depends on the episode. So they change it up all the time. And that is the if you like old music, people, this is a great show just to sort of get a small education of the type of music that was coming out of the 20s. It's amazing.
No, sorry. There's only 196 songs.
That's still fine.
So nine hours.
And that was really a time where popular music was really becoming a huge influence, because that's when really record players and radio really started coming out into the fore, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't have radio before that. So, I mean, you had the injection of radio into popular culture.
But you still had a lot of people buying Victrolas and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they make a point of that in the second series about buying a record player, about how big that was. But yeah, I mean, it opens up. I did not realize that Brian Jonestown Massacre did the theme music. I didn't know.
Huh.
But yeah, the playlist opens with the theme music, the actual song that they adapted the theme music from. But this is a fucking great playlist. I love the music of Boardwalk Empire. In fact, the band, what we also learned was the band that they use at Babette's, the club that appears in Boardwalk Empire often. Is a real band that plays in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
So how awesome would that be? Yeah,
you know who would be really cool is actually if they get the Bohunks to play. Hmm. Because they used to do stuff for, now they're a little later, they'll do stuff of the 30s, but they can easily do 20s stuff. Well, and they did a whole album of Little Rascal stuff, and I think they even redid some of the stuff for like Harold Lloyd's work.
Well, what they can do is apparently I have not dipped into the source material, the book Boardwalk Empire that this is taken from, but it's a history of Atlantic City up till the present day. So they could run this as long as they wanted to, in theory.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing was the oh shit, I completely blanked on what I was going to say.
I wonder who they had played Trump for the 80s and 90s.
Oh, God. That would be terrifying.
Actually, there
Steven
was that
DeRosa.
Yeah. There was that cool Burt Lancaster film called Atlantic City, wasn't there?
I don't
Back
remember.
In the late 70s, 80s. It was like nearing one, and I think he got an he got nominated for it.
Oh, wait a minute. This is, I see. So, Aaron just sent the link. The dumber they come, the better I like them by Steven DeRosa. That is Steven DeRosa singing an Eddie Cantor song. And he's the actor who plays the real life person, Eddie Cantor, on the show. And they actually do a thing where they have footage of the real Eddie Cantor singing. And then they cut to the actor playing Eddie Cantor. And I swear to God, if you turned off the visuals, you wouldn't know they'd switched.
No.
That's how good he was. He was amazing. So the actor's name is Steven DeRosa. But yeah, Aaron, that's right. That's probably in the second or third episode. But yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's pretty early on. And I remember just because it made me giggle so much, just because how sexist it was. Like, it was
ridiculous.
My
gosh. During that time period, like Bessie Smith, there was a jazz show you can get on PBS. And this guy actually had a whole show of very risque. Now, you're talking before the codes, even for Hollywood. Bessie Smith would sing some really, really raunchy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, and
I mean, because the thing is when you think of burlesque and stuff, you had, quasi nudie shows too, so this was all part of it.
Yeah. I think a book I recommended earlier that was primarily a biography of Gypsy Rose Lee also talked about burlesque and Minsky's and the things they did to try to prevent, people giving them shit by, covering up only just so much and stuff like that. But had a real hate for burlesque was LaGuardia.
Yeah. He was really straight-laced.
Oh, good God, yeah. I mean,
he read the lore for Nanny to the kids.
I know, but it was just like... And it was the thing is, I don't know if it's just because we're so used to it in this day and age, but it just sounds like such a damn prude.
I know, but he's got a great name, Fiorello LaGuardia. I mean, come on, if that's not like a mob.
Oh no, the name is.
Now, I'd like to point out that John sent us the link to the not to the actual porn thing, but the just to let us know which one is later. The Mad Men porn parody. Yeah, later. The funny thing is that the cover for the box shows five of the young ladies who are starring in this movie, and not one of them look half as much of a porn star as Christina Hendricks actually does in real life.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, I'd like to point out that when your porn parody of Mad Men is simply called This Isn't Mad Men, you're not really trying all that hard. I mean, come on. Half the fun is the porn title.
Apparently, they did parodies of the Twilight series too.
Okay, here's what I'm concerned about is the fact that they've done a parody called The Honeymooners.
Nice.
Not only that, it says it's a two-disc set. Who needs that much of Ralph Cramden having sex?
Straight to the moon, Alice. Straight to the moon.
Bang, zoom, right to the
power
moon.
Power right in the kisser.
Yeah, you know where that fist is going.
Sadly, this is a movie that is probably better than the feature film version of The Honeymooners that came out several years back.
Who was in that?
That was like Cedric the Entertainer, and who was that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, hang on.
Wow, that put Rox right to sleep.
It's the drugs. It's the drug she stole from Lee. Hi, Rob!
Hey.
You're just in time. We were talking about porn parodies.
Oh, lovely.
You know, as we do every week.
So Scott's probably in heaven.
Not really.
Heaven. It's the wrong kind of porn parodies.
Kind of, lackluster.
Yeah. We're talking too much about girls.
Girls, girls, girls.
Yes, so Cedric the Entertainer, Gabrielle Union, Mike Epps, and Regina Hall. That was who was in The Honeymooners feature film.
Porno.
I wonder it sucked then.
But hey, Roger Ebert liked it.
Did he really?
Yes.
Why?
That dude's high a lot of the time, Mel.
Nice. So hi, Rob. What is it? What have you been up to this evening? I saw your Twitter.
I had a work thing. I came to work today, and the boss is like, MTV's coming in to film a segment, so you're going to do it. And I said, no, I'm not. And they said, yes, you are. So they're doing a thing on, like, independent bookstores. I don't know why. It's friggin' MTV. So, yeah. That's nothing.
Well, they do
that.
Things on teen pregnancy, so why not?
No. But they were asking, like, do you ever watch MTV? And I'm like, no, not since 1987.
Oh, go be the angry old man.
What do you mean, be the angry old man? He is the angry old man.
I know, but be it more.
While I was talking to him, something else came up, but I'll talk with you about that offline later.
Oh, God.
So, no, that's all right. And that's all it was. So the film crew were here to talk, you know, dip up, you know, how independent bookstores work with local writers and stuff like that. And yeah, so that's all it was. Nothing exciting. I just didn't know it was coming, so it's kind of hideous. So probably won't even air for like a year or something because it's MTV and it involves reading, which means it may get buried forever. So.
Or is this their attempt to try to get some public funding?
It's for one of their reality shows, but I don't know which one. And I asked them, you know, when they were leaving, I said, hey, say hi to Randy the Redwoods. And they're like, who? And I'm like, never mind.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Here could be a great show is you get a bunch of the old VJs together and they have to live together.
Well, you know, they all have a show on satellite radio right now. All the living ones. So they're all on some...
They only lost one, right?
Yeah, just JJ.
JJ. Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
So
I didn't like Martha Quinn that much. I didn't like her.
Martha Quinn, she was okay.
Nina Blackwood I liked. Yeah.
Well, the problem was like, okay, Martha Quinn was too perky. I mean, she was knowledgeable and she didn't insult my intelligence, which was great. Alan Hunter seemed like an okay guy. Adam Curry, I just thought was like a rich, good-looking guy that got on TV.
He actually was
a rich, good-looking guy that got on TV. Who's the guy? The other guy looked like Epstein from the Sweat Hogs.
I forgot.
That guy. Yeah. Mark Goodman. Yeah, he was
Mark
good,
Goodman,
too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so.
Yeah, but what about Sway?
Yeah, whatever.
Awkward.
So Lee's not on the phone, is she?
No.
Rock stole her drugs and Lee's gone to sleep.
I was going to say...
Rock, are you scratching your head in disbelief what I am too, that Lee is letting her son follow us on Twitter?
What?
I didn't really notice that.
Yeah, because I emailed her. I'm like, this might not be the best parenting move. I'm not, you know. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, considering I keep making jokes about, you know, all the euphemisms that Lee makes on our Twitter feed, and she lets him follow me. She obviously doesn't give a fuck at this point.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good because, you know, I got this thing for, it said, cynical 12-year-old. And I'm like, okay, that either Lee's kid.
No,
someone
he's
Scott
different.
Knows.
No. So,
yeah, cynical 12-year-old, somebody else.
Actually, he's now 13. He's now 13.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Scott got really excited about that.
That's too excited.
That's not what
he... Yeah.
Dang. That's not right.
People. It is not.
So, yeah. And
it is not right.
It's funny because...
Oh, come on. We made dead baby jokes 2 weeks ago. Let's get over this one.
Yeah, I'm so pissed at you people about that.
What? Well,
really?
Whatever.
Hey, we didn't kill the babies.
Yeah, I know.
Shut up.
We didn't kill the babies.
Shut up.
But we...
I
almost made a really bad and inappropriate joke for recent events.
I had a really horrible one, too, for recent events, too, I was going to say, but never mind.
Oh, darn.
John, you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
No, I'm not going anywhere near it.
Okay, never mind.
I'm really, it's really depressing and sad.
It is depressing and sad, but, you know.
But there's comedy in that thing, Mary.
What recent events? Okay. Just give me a hint and let me know what event it is.
No.
It's so incredibly horrible that it doesn't even deserve getting mentioned.
Yes.
That's how horrible it is.
Yes, please, no.
Yeah. All I
here,
have to
I'll,
say
I'll,
is that
I'll
am
it
kid,
here, Aaron.
You deserve every bit of hell that awaits you.
Yes.
So there.
I am so confused.
Hold on.
It's okay. We'll tell you later.
So, Rock
I'm IMing him.
You can't encant it yourself.
I know, but I'm trying to change the subject here, so somebody else say it so we can liven things up.
Okay, fine, Rock Lobster.
Oh, hold on. Wait, I was typing stuff that means things.
That's right. Pushing the boundaries of fair use. That's Weekend Justice.
So what's funny is I was actually talking to a journalist this week about the radio show, and I was telling him, I was trying to pimp the soundboard and, you know, stuff. And she's like, I just want to know, what the hell is this Rock Lobster business all about? So I do explain it. Because, you know, of all the questions to ask about Weekend Justice, you're like, I get everything. I just don't get Rock Lobster. I thought was hilariously funny. So.
I believe it's called a mixing desk, Rob.
I know. Yeah, thanks.
Awkward.
Oh, my God. So, Rob, let me ask you, is it time for you to see more movies, or is it just dead right now?
I haven't had a chance, just mainly because I've been so friggin' busy. I did see this French thing that somebody said, oh, go see it with me. I have nothing to do. So I went, and mainly so my friend could get in free. And it was – Scott would like it, though. It's called Tomboy. It's a French film. It's pretty bad, so don't see that. and then Thursday, there's a Tonight was the screening for the Denzel film, and I missed that, so I'm going to go see that probably later this week. But the Thursday night, there's something coming out next week that's supposed to be big in action, and I forgot what it was. There's no Ghost Rider screenings at all.
Shocking.
They canceled those, and they canceled all of the they just didn't schedule them. All of the Phantom Menace 3 screenings. So, which I really hard to see anyway. No, but I just, you know, it's probably because they don't want anybody to see it for free.
Does Phantom really cost that much? Really?
Well, any amount of money I spend on that film is too much.
Well, I'm so shocked he's never fixed his neck.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. You know, a little surgery here and there wouldn't be bad for George. A little tightening, a little cinching up.
So you're saying that George needs to treat his body like his scripts?
Yeah. He needs to go back and rework that shit.
So what you're saying is he needs to hope that somebody who's an expert comes along and doesn't need him to tell him what to do?
Yeah, what'll be funny is, you know, if he fucks up his own plastic surgery, like, you know, would George Lucas keep redoing his face, you know, like... Well, last time I wanted to add a little bit of green, so this time I went back and digitally put some green in my face. So, but no, I do want to see Man on the Ledge because that looks like it might actually be a really cool idea. And I think after watching The Way Homer that I want to go see The Woman in Black, which I was not planning on seeing.
Yeah, it was decent. It was a good Hammer flick.
Ooh, Hammer's back. So.
Yes, they are.
I got to see The Artist last week. While I was in Paris, and not realizing that the title cards were all in French. Words that were in that movie were in another language for me. Now, luckily enough, I do know some words, so I was mildly able to keep up. And they were still speaking in the scenes in English, so I was able to lip read a lot of it.
Yeah,
but it was still actually very surprisingly easy to keep up with that movie, and I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really good. And Jean Dujardin is a bit of a hottie, if I do say so myself. He's all over French news at the moment, which is probably not too surprising. But I'm kind of interested to check out some of his French movies just because he is very watchable.
The OSS ones are great.
But frankly, what else do the French have going on besides smoking and berets?
Cheese.
Oh, surrendering. They have that too.
Baguettes. They have baguettes.
Yes.
And cheese.
And I'm told they're pretty good at the whole sex thing.
Strikes. And yeah, there's strikes.
They did give us Daft Punk, though. Let's give them a little bit of a break.
And air. The band's not the actual.
Oh, oh, and say, what?
Aaron, and most importantly, Marie Cotillard.
Oh. Nice. Yeah.
You know who's there? You know who's everywhere over there at the moment? Juliette Binoche. She is fucking on everything.
Yes, she
is. She's fucking on everything?
Yes, she is. Slower.
And is it Andre Tartu?
Andre Tartu? Yeah, she ain't a bad slice of bacon either.
What a whore. Yeah.
The sad thing is, I think I like her characters more than the actress. Weirdly, she seems less interesting in real life than she does in her movies.
Yeah, well,
everybody's working.
What the fuck is John whispering to himself?
So, Aaron, my odd chance, you didn't go to any record stores in Paris, did you?
No, there was a very cool kind of bargain store that had secondhand books and CDs and stuff like that, but didn't really kind of. Didn't get enough time. We weren't there long enough to kind of go properly looking around for stuff.
Because it's funny when you go to like record stores in Paris, it's kind of like the most anticlimactic record store experience possible because they make it as difficult as possible to find things as a human being could possibly get. It's just like you're walking around like if you're looking for like anything that's not French, good fucking luck. It's just, oh my God.
Well, and that's kind of French culture in general, is that basically if you're not able to look after yourself, they don't care.
Well, do they still have the – they have a thing where only so much television can be English-based? It's like almost a tariff on cultural stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they don't hold back either, because when we were in Paris last time, it was when that whole mess was going on with Saddam Hussein. And we were out about doing sightseeing. Like, oh, well, let's see what's on TV. And we hadn't turned on the hotel TV at all, right? And the TV screen goes on, and the first image you see is not the before, not the after, but the complete during of Saddam Hussein getting hung. It was just kind of like, oh, look, they just hung him. Oh, my God. So, wow, they show people hanging on actual news TV, you know. And then we switched the channel and watched Friends, which was in French, which was horrible.
Yeah, they dub everything. They don't subtitle stuff. They dub everything, which is very kind of weird.
Now, what is interesting is, like, when I go to different countries, I like to see what The Simpsons sounds like in different countries just for weird sake. But apparently, when they showed the Doctor Who and Torchwood over there, at least with the Doctor Who stuff, Moffat is actually overseas to make sure that the translation is correct from the English script. I mean, that's how much of a tight script he's got. And apparently the Sherlocks are the same way. When those get translated into French, that they sign off on it too to make sure that the translation doesn't mix over. Which is kind of
I would love to hear the French version of the Irene Adler.
I think that translates into all languages.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'd have to match the voice up. So they'd have to change it over to whoever dubbed it. And I wonder if she changed it to "Wee."
It's a shame that John isn't here right now because then he could play the sound clip, but he's not here.
I know. Okay. Fuck John.
Ouch. So, yeah.
But he was starting on our listeners earlier, Rob.
What?
He was starting a fight with our listeners earlier on, so we might as well start a fight with John in his absence. Yeah. Widge is left too. What the fuck? Has everyone just left the fucking podcast?
God. Maybe he's
left. That's all right. Well, we did start talking about the French. I mean, that does kind of.
You know what? Yeah. I don't have a bigger problem with the French as the Americans do. I've never understood why the French hate them so much, because the French have never done a thing against you. They gave you a big fucking statue, for fuck's sake.
I know. And you know what? Nobody wanted it. That's the funny part.
I think we inherited it from the English.
No.
They get a little, I mean, you go outside of France and the French are like the loveliest people in the world. Like, I made an effort when I went over to learn French. I had the MetroCard, and you know, it wasn't as bad, you know, but it's just kind of like, as long as you go over and you're sort of like not a typical tourist, but just like completely has no care or concern about their culture, you're fine. Although I did have a run-in with a guard at McDonald's once, but that was it. So
what was the problem with the guard and the McDonald's?
Well, Janet and I were doing the Champs-Élysées and she had to use the restroom. So she went into McDonald's and I was waiting for her by the door. And the guard comes out, excuse me, you have to, and I actually bought a soft drink so that I was a paying customer. And he goes, I'm sorry, you have to leave. I'm like, well, I'm waiting for my wife, she's in the bathroom. He goes, no, you have to leave. It's like, well, I bought a drink, I'm finishing, I'm waiting for my wife. And he's like, no, you have to leave. You didn't buy any food, get out. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not leaving until my wife comes out of the bathroom. And he's like, well, you know, how do I know your wife's really in the bathroom? And I'm like, yeah, I'm standing by the door drinking a soda for no other reason in one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I'm going to blow my day sitting here drinking a soda, waiting for, you know. And he got so bad. It was so rude. You know, it was just like.
I wonder if he works for Dragon Con.
No, because he was like, you know, he's like, You know, blah, blah, blah. You come over here, you make a mess. It's like, I bought it. I'm buying this. I'm, you know, we'll leave. You know, don't worry. We're out of here. So she came out of the restroom and he's like, oh, do you have any identification? Approved. Yeah. So, and then finally, you know, I'm just like, you know, thanks for really being an asshole. We really appreciate it. He goes, well, you Americans come over here and you're assholes. I go, yeah, we're a lot of assholes when we came over here because your ass couldn't fix the Nazis. And I left. and then all the English and the German tourists were laughing their asses off, right? So, yeah. You build a big fucking wall to keep the Germans out, and of course you build it in the wrong fucking place. You gotta love it.
Look, it says entrance this way.
Rob, walking international incident.
So you know why there's so many trees in Paris, don't you, Aaron?
No.
So the German army can march in the shade.
Oh, that's right. I heard yes. I do remember that one now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there goes our non-existent French listeners.
We took the shuttle over. Everyone there was great. The airport, everyone was great. It's just that the Louvre, everyone was great. The metro, you asked for directions, people were great. Except the one fucker in the McDonald's who was probably some pension security guard, you know. So
what I don't understand is that how France did so badly in the two world wars, yet like ruled half the fucking world like back in Napoleon times and shit like that. Like, at what point did they become like shit at that sort of thing? I mean, they used to be great at it.
Well, part of it is that their economy was nearly bankrupt before each world war, and unlike Great Britain when they had a colonial empire, they made. The English, at least, had a colonial empire, and they made sure they had enough money to run a colonial empire. Whereas the French are like, oh, we have all these colonies, and we can't really afford to have them. So it just got to be a big pain in the ass. So
it's all about the dollar bills, y'all.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, my God. Hey, Rob, have you
now
seen...
Now, that is going on the soundboard.
Have you seen in Juxtapose Art Magazine the Barbara Walters tagging... I just saw this.
Okay.
This is cool.
Let me ask you this. Is it a picture of Barbara Walters that someone tagged, or is it actually Barbara Walters out spray painting?
She's got a can.
Oh, she's my hero.
Yeah,
that's
she
awesome.
Does.
She
has some cans
drag?
On her.
No.
What's her tag name? B-Walt?
I don't know. Somebody spray painted her shirt, though. It's funny.
So, Aaron, awesome. I looked this up, and I tried to translate this into French, and from what I could tell... It would be, it's all about the Cezannes, baby.
No, nowadays it's Euro.
You know what?
It's all Euro.
They change the names of all the English films, but they don't directly translate them. They just make up their own ones. And so they had some... They had like for The Grey, it was like The Territory of the Wolves, or Entering the Territory of the Wolves was the name they changed it to. And I can't remember, the funniest one was just for something like Taken, where it was like the really longest title I've ever seen. Shit, I wish I could I took a picture of it.
Translate to stay where you are, now they're going to take you.
didn't Warren Ellis do a bit in Transmetropolitan about the language thing?
Yeah.
Probably. I haven't read it.
Did you find the part of Paris where the little carriage comes by and you get in and you go back and hang out with Scott Fitzgerald? Not that he didn't do that part, did you?
That was the part of Disney World that was closed when I was there.
Nice.
So let's say if you did do that, if you met Dolly, you should have brought him back for rocks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I meant to ask you. You went to Eurodisney, right? Or whatever they're calling it now.
I will answer that question in 1 second because I have a question first for Rox. Rox, Salvador Dali, would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the mustache.
you'd hold on to it like handlebars?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
No, she'd just ride it.
Now, that would be a wild mustache ride.
yes, now, I went to Eurodisney.
Now, have you been to any of the other Disney World places?
That is the first and will be the only ever Disneyland I've ever been to.
What'd you think of it?
Judging by the fact that I will never go to one again, not a lot.
Whoa, whoa. Dude, seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a complete ripoff, no value for money anywhere along the way. It's just, it was sad town, mostly.
What, do all the rides quit halfway through or something?
Well, going by the fact that half the rides were shut down when
that's
I was
a French
there.
Joke.
It's just the ones that were working. You were queuing even in February where it was -8 when I was there. You were still queuing up for longer than you were on the rides.
Is that -8 Celsius or -8 Fahrenheit?
-8 Celsius, which I believe is 17 Fahrenheit.
Well, you know the story behind why they put it in France, don't you?
No.
Well, when they were designing Eurodisney, Michael Eisner was in control of the corporation. And initially, all the people said, oh, yeah, we're going to put it in Spain because Spain is warm. You know, all the Europeans go there. And it was the same idea that they put it – why they put Disneyland in Anaheim and Disney World in Florida. But Eisner said no. He wanted it in Paris because when he was a young man, he went there for a little bit, you know, to try to be an artist. And people speculate that this is his way of trying to conquer, you know, Parisian culture and shit. And it turned out to be a fucking disaster because, for one thing, you're out standing in a line at -8 Celsius.
Yeah, I mean, the outdoor queues were a nightmare. But the thing that bugged me most, I think, if nothing else, was the fact that...
It was in France?
No, I've been to Paris before. I quite like it. It's not that bad. I had a real problem with the fact that the gift shops outnumbered the rides, and it's the same shit in every gift shop. So why you have so many, I'll never understand. Because it's not as if you can't buy it all in the one place. The very few like eateries that they had open. I mean, it was scandalous, the shit they were charging you. I mean, it really was fucking crazy. I just, nothing about it gave me a good feeling. Like the hotel I stayed in, one of the Disneyland hotels, it was a hole. I mean, I've stayed in better travel lodges. I mean, I've stayed in really like motels better than that. It's just everything about it was just piss poor. And for the money you're paying, it's just ridiculous.
To confirm reaffirm what Scott just said, well, you need to go to Disney World. Seriously.
And that's the one, and I know you were confused last time, that's the one in Florida.
It's in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Aaron, I can't speak for Euro Disney because I've never been there, but Disney World, even Disneyland. Disneyland, I know that our friend Dana Snyder loves Disneyland because that's the one within basically driving distance of him. But it is tiny. But Disney World, I fucking love Disney World. I had my honeymoon at Disney World. I would go back to Disney World in a heartbeat and plan to as soon as possible. It is a hoot. So what's that, Rob?
Field trip.
I'm all for it.
Need Coffee does Disney World.
Well, the thing is, it's so expensive. I don't think I could ever afford to go over to the one in the States. Because
you got to be with some people who are expert at Disney. We can take care of you and make sure that you don't get ripped off. Because it is expensive to go to Disney World. But if you know what you're doing, it's not too bad.
He's going to want a blowjob, Aaron. I'm just telling you.
Well, that's always the case with Scott, right?
Well, no, I know, but in this case, he's going to want at least two.
Just actually, what you want to do is you want to find the unofficial tour of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's this guy that shows all the weird, creepy things that goes on at Disney.
Well, let me tell you something. To speak of our friend Dana, one of the most amazing things that, you know, when I finally die in the year 2263, they say, well, what was some of the most amazing things you ever experienced? I will say going to Disneyland with Dana was probably one of them, because this is the guy who has got so much Disney in him. He literally was taking me on something that I refer to now as theme park archaeology, i.e.
Yeah.
Yes, you see that tunnel over there that's overgrown with weeds? That used to be where the train came out. And here's where the line was. And this entire area used to be different. I mean, he could literally paint a picture for you of how Disneyland was through the ages. It was absolutely stunning. And one of my goals is to basically pay for Dana to go to Disney World so that we can basically record him doing a walkthrough of the theme park and bestowing upon the listener various and sundry historical facts about the theme park, so that it could be like your guided iPod tour that you would play as you walk through the park. Because his level of Disney information is fucking startling.
Rob, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. When I went with people that like went to Disneyland almost like every other week, and it was much the same thing, where they were like literally, it wasn't that detailed, but literally they made it like so much more fun, because they literally knew like every nook and cranny just from going there all the time. So
okay, I have a question. Do we know anybody who has a relative in the military?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Because there is a hotel. Okay, there is a hotel on the property called Shades of Green, and it is only open to military personnel and their families.
Yes.
And comparatively, it is a lot cheaper than the main hotels, and you're on property, and you're like in walking distance of the Polynesia, and you can hop on the monorail from there, and it's a nice hotel. So I'm just saying.
Scott, you tried to use that plea the last time. We kind of shot you down because it is for, you know, military families.
And well, also, that's why I asked you may know someone who has a military family, but we don't have a military family.
I do.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I don't. I'm an American.
So I'm just
saying. Yeah, also
saying.
I'm Irish.
Okay, I've been, just to back up a second. I've been trying to find the French version of the film Taken, what the title is. And if you go to the French version of the website, it calls it Taken. So I don't know.
Oh, what was the other one then? What was the other Taken-like film that looked like Taken but wasn't Taken?
I can't believe it's not Taken.
It was the one that was almost like a spit.
Did star Fabio.
Oh, God. Do you know who was in it?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson? Hang on. Taken like film. Wait, unknown?
Schindler's yes, List. That's the one.
He said Schindler's
okay.
List. That was Rob.
Oh my God.
And why isn't unknown in his IMDb list? What the fuck? Oh, here it is.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I posted the Barbara. She interviews David Cho. The guy murals for Facebook. So
nice.
Apparently the guy is homeless until the stocks are go on sale, which the funny thing is they don't go on sale until May. It went public today or tomorrow, but the stocks don't go up for sale till like May. So right now the guy is homeless apparently.
That's ridiculous, because then tomorrow he's worth $200 million.
Something like that, but you can't buy Facebook stock until
right. But he's worth.
Yes, he's worth $200 million, yeah. Something like that. Yeah,
that's one of
his work is good though.
Yeah, Aaron, it's based, Taken is based on a French novel called Out of My Head, apparently. But I, yeah, I don't, wait a minute. Let's see. Oh, no, shit.
Saying this though, I could have just been reading the poster wrong and seen the tagline and the movie title and thinking they were all the same thing because it's just words to me.
So. Well, I mean, but you're that way with English too.
Yes, this is very true.
Yeah, I know. So am I.
You know, why haven't they made like a French English comedy with like Jean Reno and Liam Neeson having like wacky adventures? I'd pay for that.
Let me tell you something. Liam Neeson, the closest he's come to being in a full on comedy was Gun Shy back in like 2000 with, that was actually a funny movie. At the end, kind of like deflated, but the first like 4/5 of the film was actually quite funny.
His funny bits of Love Actually aren't bad either.
Now he is a well-rounded actor. I mean, I'm glad that he is working his ass off, and he's got like, you know, in essence, what, 5 films out this year, starting with The Gray. So I'm happy for him, but he is one of those actors that I would like to see in a comedy, like, you know, like I would like to see Jeremy Irons in a comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, what was it? 1998's Man in the Iron Mask made me want to see both Jeremy Irons and John Malkovich in a comedy together because their timing is extraordinary.
Waiting for Godot, the comedy.
What was it?
Those two doing The Odd Couple would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Jeremy Irons would be Oscar.
Well, I will say this. Yeah. The Waiting for Godot, I would be fascinated to see the Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen Waiting for Godot that they did, what was it, last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Now, Rob, I'm very happy to say that the Frankenstein, Johnny Lee Miller, Benedict Cumberbatch Frankenstein, they're not stupid. They're doing an encore of that in certain theaters. So I'm hoping it's actually going to come here this time.
Oh my God! You have to see it, and the thing is, you have to see it twice because they switch off roles.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
It's incredible. Johnny Lee Miller is a far better actor than people give him credit for being, and Cumberbatch is just he's just one of these actors that just keeps getting better and better and better. It's really interesting to see his career develop.
Well, I have to say the one bit of Tinker Tailor that stays with me is the bit that he had that I'm fascinated to know if it's in the book. I don't want to say anything because of spoilers, but when basically Gary Oldman's character says that you need to deal with anything that might be a problem, Cumberbatch's one scene dealing with that is heartrending.
Yeah.
And he is so good in it. And I that wasn't in the original miniseries, I know. I'm fascinated to know if that was in the book or if they added that. But God damn, that was good. So yeah, he is really, really seriously good. And I don't say that just because of Sherlock and it rocking.
Now but you remind me how long we have to wait for the third season.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it could be worse. It's like waiting for Taken 2. I mean, what have we got in between then and now? We've got like Wrath of the Titans and then Battleship. So two bad Liam Neeson films in which he's
No, don't just say that. It's not his fault.
No. Bad you films said, with Liam Neeson right. in it.
Okay, so you were a little imprecise in your phrasing there.
I'll accept that.
Every time you say Taken 2, I just think of the video game Tekken 2.
So do I. you also have episode 1 while you're at it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a good point. So he's technically out in 6 films this year. So, but I don't know.
Would you say his performance in that movie was good? I still can't make my mind up if he's good in that movie.
Well, here's what I would say about that, and I'm sure everyone else will want to jump in, but my thing is that when it comes to the prequels, you've got Liam Neeson and Christopher Lee, who are both good because they don't need directors. They don't. Then you've got following behind them, I would say probably Ewan McGregor, who because he is working so hard at being a young Alec Guinness and realizes...
Well, at least he had something to base the character on.
No, no, he did. But by the third film, you notice his accent went away because he realized it wasn't...
Yeah.
But, you saw the first two movies by that point.
No, Aaron, I swear to God, if you've not seen this, you must. It is amazing. There, after the announcement of the title of episode two as Attack of the Clones, they stopped him, and I want to say it was like at a... Shit. Was it Moulin Rouge? Was it a red carpet for Moulin Rouge? I don't remember. But he was with Nicole Kidman. You know what I'm talking about, Ross? He was with Nicole Kidman. And basically, a reporter, because they're answering questions, basically said, so what do you think of the new title for episode two, Attack of the Clones? And McGregor goes, say that again? And he goes, Attack of the Clones. And McGregor literally reaches over, pulls Kidman over, and says, listen, he does this on camera. Listen, they've announced the title of episode two. She's like, what is it? Attack of the Clones. And they do this laugh that you would understand if you saw it. It's the laugh where you're laughing so hard, you make no sound. And they do that, and then they move on. It is the one of the most brilliant snippets of red carpet things in history. But yeah, he realized that. I would say close after McGregor was Samuel L. Jackson. But if you look at, like, if you look at Natalie Portman, try to judge Natalie Portman's career just by the Star Wars prequels. You would think she sucked because she needs a director. At least at that point, she needed a director. So if you needed a director in those prequels, you were fucked. And that's why I write Jake Lloyd a complete pass. It's not his fault. It's not anybody's fault, but Lucas's fault. And I think that, the script was bad. As I've said before, and as someone was saying on Facebook, any of us before Phantom Menace, before we realized what was happening, would have signed up for the Star Wars prequels. We would have, you know, we would have done the Sam Jackson route and begged on primetime television, but late night television to say, I want a lightsaber. Please, I'll do anything. Let me be in the movies. But yeah, I mean, if you needed an act, if you needed a director, you were fucked. So I think Liam Neeson was fine in that.
I wish I could have been there for between the second and third movies when Samuel Jackson called Lucas and was like, now I know your ass is getting ready to write me out. Don't punk me out, bitch. You just know that he had to school Lucas on writing him out. You know he did.
Yeah, I don't want to be back.
It's like if I'm going to die, I want to go out like a motherfucker. You know, I mean, it's like,
that would be great. But no,
almost wish he did try to do that. Then Samuel L. Jackson would have put a beat down on him and we would have all left.
I believe Scott actually found the clip you're talking about.
I did. Sorry. Well, I didn't want to call attention, but
Attack of the Clones? That's the title.
I just heard that.
What is
I just
that?
Heard the new Star Wars film's called Attack of the Clones.
No.
There is.
I love that.
Is that better than Phantom Menace? I don't know.
I love that. Kidman's like, no. But, yeah, I mean, my thing, what's interesting is, sadly, even after Phantom Menace, my editor at the time was had a great theory about how Qui-Gon Jinn was actually the Emperor. So the whole reveal was not shifted from, well, his father's Darth Vader, which is ruined if you watch them in chronological order. Because we didn't know that. We didn't know it was going to be completely and utterly ruined. But he was like, I don't think it's Palpatine. I think it's quite, he had a theory about how Qui-Gon Jinn was actually not dead and was actually the Emperor and was based around the fact that, when Jedi's actually die, their bodies disappear a la Kenobi in Star Wars. The first one. I refuse to call it A New Hope. The name of the movie is Star Wars. Fuck you, George.
Yes.
But Qui-Gon Jinn, when he died, his body didn't go anywhere. It was right there. So his theory was, no, he faked his death. He's actually the Emperor. And I was like, if that is correct, then all this will be worth it. And it was not correct, and it was not worth it. So
it would have been cooler. I will.
You know, the thing is, what really hurts is when you saw the first trailer. When you saw the first trailer for The Phantom Menace, it looked so cool. And then we got this movie, and it's like, it wasn't even that we were looking because we were remembering the movies with nostalgia. It was that trailer that just looked
so good. And then when we got the actual movie, it was like, what?
There is
actually, you know what should have cued us all in was the Taco Bell Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial crossovers.
No, they've always had. They've always.
Oh, you have Colonel the mass Sanders marketing. With. I know, but you know.
Well, my thing was. Well, go ahead, Rob.
I was going to tell. I think I may have told you this, Rox, but you know who the first choice was to play the Emperor, don't you? In the first three films? Not the prequels, but...
No.
The original person, he was actually unavailable because he had signed up to do a play or something, was Vincent Price. And Christian kept... So Christian calls him, and he's like, you have to do this. It'll be fun. You get to go to England, you know, we'll have a blast. Me and Alex can go out drinking, you know, the whole thing, right?
Right.
And so then... this has been after Star Wars. So they approach him again about doing it. And he's like, well, you know, I heard, you know, because originally they wanted to lock him up. When they got the first ideas that they were going to do a second movie somewhere during halfway of the filming for the first one, they started to sort of feel out people for the second part of the films. And he wanted the same deal that Guinness got, and Lucas wasn't going to give it to him.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Lucas is a tard.
Well, you know, Guinness made an awful lot of money off that movie.
Yes, he did. And you know what? It's so funny because he bitches. At one point he would bitch about it so often.
I love his autobiography where he always talks about, oh, I got another Obi-Wan Kenobi in the mail today with another letter.
Lisa, can you sign another one?
Well, I think part of the thing, though, in his defense was it wasn't even just that the – because I watched – there was a great – there's a series of documentaries in the UK called Arena, which has some amazing, amazing documentaries. They did one about George Martin. They did one about Guinness. And they did one about Peter Sellers. And they're all really good. But the one about Guinness, when he was talking about the Star Wars bit, I think what really turned him off was the fact that a lot of people didn't understand it was fiction and were writing to him for him to teach them how to be Jedi. I mean, they actually were reading from his autobiography where he's talking about not just the fact that he was getting letters, but letters that the people who were so stupid, they didn't understand it was science fiction. And I think that really bothered him.
It's a good thing we don't have those sort of people these days, huh?
I know.
Well, at least people know about them, you know. So it's I think he was surprised. I mean, for people who've done a little bit more genre work, it's like, okay, put that in that pile.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, there's some people who think that this podcast is improvised, the whole thing. They don't understand we're reading.
I know.
Dude, that... Which?
What? What?
Which? We're going to have to retake that again.
No. Nobody's listening by this point in the podcast, so we're fine.
But seriously, dude.
Doc?
Nobody listens anyway.
Doc is going to get really pissed off if I let that go through.
All right. Fine. I'll fix it in post. No worries.
All right. Just take that part out. Thanks.
You got it. So anyway, we should probably move towards recommendations because we're coming to that time. So who wants to go first?
I will.
Go, Scott.
Yes. Got two DVDs and
One is It's Not Mad Men, and the other is The Honeymooners.
No.
Oh.
Actually, I found a porn book.
Oh!
I actually read this book, and it was quite interesting.
It was sitting on his desk.
No, actually, it's in the other room right now, but that's beside the point. It's called...
It's in the dungeon.
It's
under
called...
his pillow.
Bring out the game.
It's called Horny Devils, Tantalizing Takes on Hot Men, Hairy Beasts, and Other Creatures from Beyond.
Yeah!
It's essentially gay S&M supernatural porn.
Ooh. Oh, ghosts? Is there ghost sex
yes.
in it?
Yes, S&M ghosts.
What is the name of the lead protagonist?
It's a collection of short stories.
Oh, okay. I was hoping for some cheesy, like, sex story name.
No, I don't think you want me to read this.
Surprisingly hard, actually.
That is his name. That is the name. That is the protagonist's name, Aaron.
Exactly.
He's known
by triple bar online.
SH actually.
Oh my.
Just don't get the squirty kind.
Does that make it Shaq-tually?
God.
So there's
a really bad Shaquille O'Neal movie.
So there's one. Okay.
Who wrote this porno book before we moved the
Okay. Dan
we must know.
Kelly.
Dan Kelly?
Daniel W. Kelly.
Okay. That's Dan Brown's ghostwriter name.
I write porn in the side.
Because this is going to make us the most amount of money in the Amazon shop. So this is why I want to make sure we got the name so we could find the right porno book. Mighty Bill is going to buy at least 3 copies.
Scott, when was this put out? Ha ha ha.
It's hard to say. 2009.
So Scott, Scott, did you really read this?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
No, this is the first book he read.
It is the only book he's read all the way through.
Rocks.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was upset, though, because he couldn't fuck the fish.
Oh. Hey.
Oh.
Or slap the fish.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Thank you, RoboJed.
No.
Oh my!
Oh God!
Okay,
slap the red fish.
You know what I like about this? The author actually wrote his own review for Amazon,
and he gave it 1 star.
He just like Closet Monsters. My new collection is once again 5 goth erotica short stories, followed by a full length novella. Scream Queen is a treat for all those fans of horror movies of the 70s and 80s. It's part hot, part comedy, part horror, and part homage to all your favorite classic films. Enjoy. That is from Daniel.
Yeah, I just skipped all the sex stuff. I didn't really bother with the comedy and shit.
Oh my God, that's the worst photoshopping of horns ever. They could have put me.
Means the one on his head.
You know what? Yes, the one's on his head. They could have got the horns from Mighty Bill. Mighty Bill could have went to that photo shoot. Here, no, use mine instead of photoshopping these. These are horrible. Scott, you read this book.
What I find impressive about the guy in the cover is that he's both hairy and waxed at the same time.
Yeah. How is that? Wow.
There you go, Rox. There's a Vincent Price parody, House of Waxing.
Now, Scott, I'm putting a challenge to you that every week I want you to pick one of your porno books as one of your recommendations until we've gone through them all.
Oh, my God. The picture of the author. Why does it look like it's a picture of him at McDonald's?
Because he's trying to get
that French guard.
Rox, he's trying to get supersized.
I guess.
Oh, God. He wants a Big Mac.
He wants a special sauce.
I really do need 27 inches.
Yeah, we know that.
Just don't get the squirty kind. Scott, if you scroll down, you need to get Closet Monsters.
Yeah, I'm gonna post a link to his other book. Hold on.
Yeah.
Closet Monsters. Oh my God.
God.
This is going to screw up everybody's Amazon recommendations.
All I'm saying is that Closet Monsters is the worst Pixar slash fic ever. The artist is going to get shafted. Yeah,
come back.
Oh, God. So Scott, was that your recommendation?
No, I had one more.
Oh, go ahead.
Since I mentioned that RuPaul's Drag Race has started for a 4th season, why not pick up the 3rd season on DVD?
Or not.
I mean, it really is interesting to watch this stuff because the amount of work and imagination that goes into some of this drag is absolutely mind blowing.
Scott,
does he still make them sashay away at the end of every episode?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
You know what the best part is?
What's that?
When RuPaul takes off all the makeup, he's CeeLo Green.
No, he isn't. For one thing, he's great skin.
For one Scott, thing, he has normal length arms.
Scott, I appreciate this, that you've tried quite extensively to justify the artistic merit of a show called RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, seriously, it's also on Netflix if you want to check it out. Seriously, some of the work that went into some of these outfits are really amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, you see people can't appreciate, so I'm done. Dong.
I will say I've watched a series of it. I think it was possibly the first season. I don't know which one it was. But I got a giggle out of it. There's worse TV out there.
There is.
And it has more drama than any of those Real Housewives. If you want drama, get a whole bunch of drag queens in one room and... Mm-hmm.
But this is one show where there'll be no baby mama drama.
True. You don't have to
Knowing how
that,
hard yeah. that is... Jesus. All right, who's next?
I have no recommendations, so I'm just going to go, booyah, good night, everybody.
Is a companion piece to...
Good night, Aaron.
Is a companion piece to RuPaul's Drag Race, can I suggest Nip and Tuck?
Yeah.
Wait, Nip and Tuck or Nip Tuck?
Yeah, both. There's one's a porn, one's not.
Is there a porn parody called Nip Fuck?
Oh my god, Nip and Tuck.
Nips and tuck, probably.
Okay. Nipples tuck. I don't know.
Tips and
Or if it's like that, the guy from Silence of the Lambs trying to look like a woman, it could be called Nip Tuck Under.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Oh, God. Scott will be starring in the...
Oh, actually, it's actually called Nip Fuck.
Yeah, I see. Called it. Scott will be starring in the roadshow version of Silence the Musical. No lies. All right, so who's next?
Put the lotion in the basket.
Okay, thank you.
Put the fucking lotion in the basket. So
I can go.
Get the hose up.
Go, Rob.
And...
Me or Rox? I didn't hear you.
You, Rob.
Go. Oh, okay. Well, since I'd be remiss to mention... But this is the this week is the 200th birthday of Mr. Charles Dickens.
Yes.
There's a great new biography of Dickens out by a woman named Claire Tomlin.
Oh, fucker!
Called up.
Well, it's been a while since we had one of those.
I know. Go
what
ahead.
Happened?
I'll back.
I really was gonna. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Never
Rob,
mind.
Go. No, no, go.
But it's interesting because, like Dickens, for example, his whole life. Was a champion of quote unquote getting prostitutes off the street, but yet he had all these mistresses and his daughter really didn't like him. And he had this like basic, he had this American tour where he basically went over to America and did a big book tour. And it was like the equivalent now of like rock stars smashing hotel rooms. I mean, he was just like absolutely gone insane when he came over here, just, you know, living it up. And
which
it's
one?
Because
he had two American tours.
The first one, first American tour, yeah. I mean, he just had, like, people everywhere. It was kind of like, you know, this bizarre phenomenon for him to have this. But it's a really great biography on Dickens, and you should read it. It's awesome. So I'll let Rox follow up on later. Yeah,
on that other note, is he's also the big defender of the copyright laws, because we are a country of pirating, you know, other people's ideas for a long time. What people would do is when the boat would come in with the latest installment of whatever book, is a pirate publisher would go ahead and publish subsequent, you know, issues himself, thus taking money away from Dickens. So one of the reasons he would come over too is to make sure he talked to copyright law lawyers and stuff. So that's an interesting take too. There's a really cool article, Rob, in the New York Times. I was posting all sorts of Dickens stuff today about Dickens versus lawyers, because since he started out as a lawyer, well, other than putting labels on in the bootblack factory, yeah, he did become a law clerk and then a court reporter, and from there a journalist. So he knows his fair share of lawyers and why he hates them. So
he knows of what he speaks.
Yes, he does.
Yes. It's an interesting book because he's full of contradictions and little weird idiosyncrasies that you just never would expect, you know, Dickens.
Oh, no, because he was such a dick, too.
I know. Yeah.
For kind of my recommendation is this book, Charles Dickens, A Life. Also, if you want to know sort of and I think I touched on this a while ago, was the Dan Simmons Drood. It's a good story. However, it falls flat on certain areas.
Oh, yeah.
But Dan Simmons gets the voice of Wilkie Collins, who at that time, right after the Staplehurst train wreck, was very close to Dickens. And he pointed out on how much of a dick Dickens was, and how much, this is a guy who publicly wrote in a newspaper how much he hated his wife. He actually, until he separated from Catherine, he put up a partition in their bedroom so he didn't have to see her. I mean, that's a dick move. And then he met up with Ellen Ternan. But Drew kind of really shows that whole bad side of Dickens, and he gets the voice down of Wilkie Collins really well. So
yeah, he does. I mean, if you enjoy that era, it's a great book. But unfortunately, it really does. It does not live up to its promise, which is a shame because it was creepy in some certain places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anyway,
yeah.
So, since it is his 200th birthday, there's a couple cool things floating around. Is BBC had sort of a little animation about Dickens's life in animation, and you can find that on YouTube. I'll recommend any Dickens book except for Barnaby Rudge, I think.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so a couple other quick things. The other one, I didn't expect to really like this, but it's actually really good. It's called The Lady in Gold, The Extraordinary Tale of Gustav Klimt's Masterpiece, Portrait of Adele Bloch Bauer. And it's a whole history of, like, this painting that Klimt did that's been going back and forth to different museums, claiming they own it, don't own it, where to go. So it's a really interesting book, not just on, like, the history of a painting and how an artist works, but also, like, who owns the painting, what happens to it when it gets sold, what happens to, like, wartime art stuff. It's really fascinating. And it's by an interesting woman named Anne-Marie O'Connor. So I want to recommend that. And it's a really visually great book, too, the way they laid it out and stuff. So that's also pretty great. Then
Klimt was Jewish, wasn't he? Or no?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that fell under that whole... Who owns it now?
Well, there's a whole bunch in Vienna, and then I think the museum in Berlin has one of them that they have to give back to the Bloch family, after a certain, like, in the next 2 or 3 years. There's a big deal for people to go see it, because I know that once it goes off display, it's going into a private collection again.
Ooh, wow.
So, yeah. Also, and I wanted to recommend it. I was totally going to recommend this before Aaron mentioned all the French stuff. A friend of mine got back from Paris and got me this, so I was very happy. In the film, In Education, Carey Mulligan's listening to this artist named Julia Greco. And I've been trying to find her stuff for a while, but I actually have a CD of hers now called Barber Song. And basically, it's all really great sort of French pop from like the 60s, like maybe late 50s, early 60s. And her voice is just really incredible. So I do want to recommend that. It's pretty awesome. And again, this is the part where we don't tell Widge, but the new Sleigh Bells record, Reign of Terror, I want to recommend that. It is, it's going to explode. It's going to be great. And I can't recommend that enough. So I want to recommend that. And then lastly, I don't think it's on DVD over here, but I saw it this week I've been hammering away at watching. It's a BBC series called Snuffbox. It's like a really dark British comedy, and it's really, really, really good. A friend of mine borrowed it, and it's multi-region. Let me borrow his, and it's a multi-region thing. We have to.
Is it as dark as Wonderland? Did you ever
see
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, you'll need to be able to play Region 2 DVDs to see it, because I don't think it's out over here. But it's really well done. I think it's a very, very much a black comedy, and it's very much sort of sardonic and very cleverly written and very crisply written in terms of how they wind every episode up and start it off in that. So it's really, really well done. So I did want to recommend that, and I'm done. Ding.
Cool. All right, so Rox, that leaves you. What you got?
All right, let's see. Since Rob took my pick, no. Lately, okay. So in the news for older adults and stuff, they're trying to tell people, you know, learn something different. Okay, so I started reading science books. I mean, hardcore science books. So what did I start off with? Quantum, Einstein, Bohr, and the Great Debate about about the nature of reality.
If that's the debate, I would love that. What the hell? Honestly, you know what? If you're talking about quantum physics, that really sums it up. Is I watched Professor Brian Cox, and I think all he does is say, what the hell? But he says it in a cooler accent, and he looks better than I do. So,
yeah. So it's really it's interesting. If you want to learn something different, that sort of – they'll throw a little bit of equations at you and stuff, but I don't know. It's making my brain work a little different. In a companion piece, if you really want to kind of dumb it down a little bit, it's Alice in Quantum Land, which is kind of a take on Alice in Wonderland, but they deal with quantum physics. So it's interesting. So I know I don't sound convincing, but you know, I'm working on
it. Yeah, yeah. You need to work up your conviction on that one.
Right? I know. But I will, since I mentioned this show, I will go with, if you can find it, Wonderland. It is the creepiest amount of bad going. I think it's called Wonderland, now that I think of it. No, it's not. Never mind. Sure. Forget. Done. Ding.
Nice.
Blammo.
Yeah, indeed. So, all right. So I will just reiterate what I said about Boardwalk Empire.
Wait. What about John's recommendations?
No one cares.
Yeah, no one really cares. Although I did recommend Nip and Tuck. Nip Tuck.
Yeah, you recommended that earlier. I thought you jumped in and recommended. Do you have something else?
No. It's fine.
Okay. No. If you have something
else. How often am I any good at this part of the podcast? Very rarely.
You are an integral part of this part of the podcast.
Oh, hold on. This is where I give you the segue, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, but I would suggest that anybody that is looking for something should really go to needcoffee.com/Amazon and link up through there. Even if you're just buying, you know, toothpaste through Amazon, that's probably a good idea. What do you think, Widge?
I think that's a fantastic idea, John. And you're absolutely right in that you can go to needcoffee.com/Amazon. It takes you right to the Amazon front page. And it's just like you've come from us because you have. But yes, if you're going to buy something from Amazon anyway, come and buy it through us using that link. And we get kickbacks. And that helps us keep the lights on, as Rob is fond of saying. So thank you, John, for that lovely segue.
It was seamless, was it not?
Oh, it was lovely. Yes, Rob.
John, don't forget the Foo Fighters are on the Grammys Sunday.
Thank you, sir, for reminding me. Because otherwise I would not have watched.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but it's the friggin' Foo Fighters. So.
Oh, and thank you for the link to the Grohl and Dana Gould team up for the sitcom. I believe you said that.
No problem. I think that's going to be really good.
Yeah. Yep.
So
they're doing a sitcom together, or writing a sitcom.
Oh God. Okay.
Yes. Dana Gould and David Grohl are writing a sitcom about rock stars, right?
Yeah.
Getting together for
rock stars, and there's a lot of drummer jokes in it, and it's supposed to be very, very, actually really funny. It was supposed to be one of the funniest things that's been greenlighted this season for stuff coming on ahead in coming year. So.
Oh, and Widge, thanks for the link to the video where the Foo Fighters caused a earthquake down in New Zealand.
All right.
You're welcome. When I see Foo Fighters or I see Dave Grohl, I think of you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right, so what I would say, Rob, are you at the beach? What's going on?
No.
Oh, okay, just checking.
He's
all right.
In Scott's house.
Nice. All right, so I would
My reception was going, and I went outside. It's snowing, so it's kind of wacky.
Oh, right, so. Right.
You
right,
got married again? You're at a reception?
I had bad reception when I was inside. It was coming and going.
Oh.
So I went outside. Yeah.
Was the tuna bad or was it the salmon? What was not so good about the reception?
It was probably the tuna. Yeah.
Okay. Jesus. All right. So my recommendation is, first of all, I'll reiterate Boardwalk Empire Season 1 on Blu-ray. Really enjoying the bonus features on this. And all other period shows should be embarrassed that they don't have it. And you would pay to see this level of stuff. It's awesome. But I'll also throw out, I know I'd mentioned it before, but I've just finished listening to the commentary on the Blu-ray of the African slow zombie movie, The Dead, which is out on Blu-ray from Anchor Bay. And, it's basically first of all, the commentary is one of the most brutal commentaries you'll ever listen to because it's recounting how they were, you know, mugged at gunpoint for all their cash and had their equipment confiscated by port authorities and all got malaria and food poisoning and almost died. And it's just ridiculous. Oh, yeah, this is that scene in which Rob could barely stand up. And he said, no, keep filming. This is real. This is real. It's fucking crazy. So, basically it is a Romero-esque slow zombie movie. And that takes place in Africa, an unspecified portion of Africa, although it was filmed in Ghana and Burkina Faso. And it is really fucking creepy. And part of the reason that it's creepy is because they used, all the people with speaking parts are like actors that they brought in and or local actors, but they just got people to play zombies. And they, I interviewed one of the co-writers, directors, the Ford brothers who did the film, and I was asking them, what did you tell them? I mean, how did you get this performance out of them? Because they're creepy as fuck. And he was like, yeah, we worked the translators and they completely understood what zombies were about. And in fact, we were driving by. No, seriously, they were driving by this place in the middle of nowhere, Africa. It was one, like the one building in the village with electricity. And there was a sign out that was like, this Friday night, Evil Dead. So they were showing Evil Dead in the middle of fucking Africa. So yeah, these people knew zombies. But part of the reason
Now Coca-Cola and zombies. That is international.
Exactly. But part of the reason why they're so creepy is because they don't make any noise. They make no moaning, no groaning, no shuffling noises, no nothing. They just a lot of them are barefoot. I mean, they used locals who had no shoes. So they're barefoot zombies walking through brush. They make no noise. So some of the scariest moments are when nothing's happening. Because based on what you know, what's that, Rob?
Obviously, that's a really, really clever plot device. Because that would be so realistically true. That's actually really, really great.
It is really great. And this is I am putting this on the shelf, and I'm going to be watching it. That's going to be part of my Halloween regimen each year because it's really good and really crazy because it is the first zombie movie to be shot in Africa with African locals as the majority of the cast. And I mean, yes, you can tell there's seams in it where, if you had no idea of the backstory, you'd be like, well, what were they doing there? And then you listen to the commentary, you go, oh yes, this is where we couldn't shoot this bit because our lead actor was in the hospital for 2 weeks with malaria and almost died. So it is fucking crazy. But it's definitely worth watching. If you enjoy zombie films, it's worth checking out. It is fucking creepy as hell. So that would be my recommendation. The Dead from Anchor Bay. And there you go. Wow. We actually wrapped this up fairly efficiently.
Yay.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, scares me.
All right, here's something I know from that book.
Tell me something, Rox.
Okay.
Tell him something good.
All right. The Einstein's theory of relativity was not called that. The guy that called it that was not Einstein, but Max Planck.
Oh.
Who was actually the guy that kind of, by accident, came up with quantum mechanics. By accident. All based on pottery.
Nice.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you need to know. Now you can find wormholes.
And knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is not in my world. It's better not to know. Just go ahead. Just plunge ahead.
Yeah, she's saying that because half the battle for Rox is planting booby traps.
Right.
You said boobies.
The other half is knowing where the booby traps are.
Is it booby again?
And knowing where the lotion arrow is.
Call back to a different podcast.
Call back to a different podcast. Find which one.
Jesus Christ. That's terrifying. All right, so I think it is probably time on Week in Justice, like with every week, that we should all say,
it is a far, far better thing that I do.
We should all say that.
It's Dickens.
I know. I'm with you.
Okay.
It is a far, far better thing than I do.
Well, whatever. Stop the podcast.
I'm trying. Oh, God. All right. Well, there you go. We're done. We're done early. We're giving you 14 minutes of your life back, folks.
Wow.
Yay.
Go buy a Slurpee.
And we're just going to keep consuming it by continuing to talk.
I know. Well, yeah.
We don't
true.
Have Slurpees here.
Oh, you know what, Scott? We might get a 7-Eleven.
How do you not have a Slurpee? What?
In Jacksonville, we might be getting a 7-Eleven.
Oh, my God.
Is there not a 7-Eleven in Jacksonville?
No.
And not Tallahassee.
They ran them all away.
There's no 7-Elevens in Atlanta.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 within a mile radius of me.
John, don't you know the mob owns Tampa?
I thought that was the strip joints owned Tampa.
No. The mom's own strip joints and the Slurpee so the girls can get something to drink after they've been working.
And, you know,
follow the equation. It's quantum physics, you know.
In a pinch,
it all hinges on Slurpees.
In a pinch, they could use it to, you know, improve the goods, make them stand out, push them forward. I'm saying harden their nipples. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
All you have to do is pinch them, and that gets them hard.
Okay.
Well, there's your incongruous sex advice for
mostly.
Okay,
but with tighter pants.
There you go. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
I regret nothing. True.
That is so obvious.
Oh, have you seen the...
Scott, the podcast's over. Leave it for next week.